everybody. Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. We got a special show this week. We have Vince Pichel in studio.
Woo!
Coming off a huge win, a knockout win, quick.
Yes.
That was awesome. We'll talk about that in a second. We have Conor McGregor calling in at the end of the show. So make sure you check out Conor McGregor is calling in to the show. So make sure you stay tuned for that. I want to thank our sponsor. Listen, Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. Whatever you wear right now, not as good as Mack Weldon, because they believe in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. Look, I go shopping all the time. I normally hate shopping. You go shopping with your girl, my wife
sucks.
Now. You got to go park and valet, and then you got to go to every store she wants to, and then you end up sitting on that bench with other 600 miserable men.
The sad bench of fucking
the
guys
sad
with their
bench
chicks.
Of, it's bad. It's just bad. However, Mack Weldon makes it easy. Okay, they have the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants you'll ever wear. They have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial, which means they eliminate odor.
Did you say silver? Like it's actual silver?
Yeah, actually silver. I know that CB comes over. He smells like shit. Let's just be honest. So I've been giving him Mack Weldon, and
something's just broken.
Now I look forward to whatever CB. Listen, they want you to be comfortable. So if you don't like your first pair, you can keep it, and they will still refund you. Questions asked. Yeah, that's how they roll.
That's a win-win right there.
So not only do their socks and shirts look good, they'll perform well too. It's good for working out, going to work out, going on dates, everyday life. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off. Using the promo code MMA. Also, we don't want you to just look good. I want you to eat well, too. And that's why Blue Apron is the number one fresh delivery and recipe delivery service in the country. They're the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. And they achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the U.S. And as a result, their seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Their beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals, and their produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. Because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient, they are reducing food waste. Trust me, I put food in my fridge, and the next thing I know, I got gnats and flies, and I got to go get a fly swatter. I literally have a fly swatter. I hate wasting food. Plus, you feel like an asshole because you're throwing food away. So, cooking together builds strong family bonds. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly three times more often. Those who spend a lot at restaurants or at high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 per person for a delicious meal. Their upcoming meals include basil pesto chicken with summer vegetable panzanella, Sautéed. How do you say
it? Sautéed.
Sautéed shrimp with green beans and globe tomatoes, spinach and orzo pasta, whole grain pasta and summer vegetables with heirloom tomato caprese salad, miso butter salmon and lo mein noodles with cucumber and charmed tomatoes, and meatball pizza with fresh mozzarella cheese and charmed tomatoes. Listen, me and my wife, we have Blue Apron Night. And we kill it. She wears a little apron. She wears nothing under it. Yeah, I get horny.
Oh, nice.
It's unbelievable. It's affordable. They got variety. It's flexible. It's easy. And it's guaranteed. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/MMAroast. You'll love how good it feels, tastes, and be able to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait.
Oh, man. blueapron.com/MMAroast.
Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Woo. So I got to talk to you, Vince, man. So,
talk to me.
You go to Australia.
New Zealand.
New Zealand, even better. Now, when did you get there before the fight? How long?
Roughly 2 weeks. So I think I fought, it was the 11th out there, which was a Sunday, and I got there 2 weeks Sunday before, which was the 28th, I believe.
And who did you bring with you?
No one. I was there by myself.
You didn't bring a camp?
No. Well, I did, but I was up there completely the first week by myself.
So my
coaches, no one could go up there until the week of the fight because of their schedules.
Oh my god!
So, I luckily have a friend at Street Sports in Simi Valley that I train with, Rob Vincent, who is from out there, and he grew up with like Mark Hunt and a lot of hometown guys out there. So he introduced me to a couple friends, and I kind of just snowballed from there. And it's like, I don't know, it was awesome. I had so many friends out there before I even realized it.
So you go there 2 weeks. Now, do you have a hotel plan for 2 weeks?
No, I actually rented Airbnbs. It's Dude, I don't know if you ever use Airbnb, but that shit is amazing. Like, hotels out there, I think, were like $200 a night, which New Zealand money, you know, it's a little less for us. I don't even know what the equivalency was, but like 70 cents for us is like a dollar to them. So, but okay, hotels are like $200 a night, but Airbnb is like $60 a night. So I was like, fuck, I just got Airbnbs. It was so cheap.
So you get Airbnb. Now, do you have any, like, how do you set up where you're going to train and stuff?
I honestly had no clue at this point.
You're a professional fighter in the UFC, fighting for the first time in 4 fucking years.
Oh, shit. And you go out of the country for the first time too.
Out of the country for the first time. Now,
no fucks given.
Now, by the way, did your arrest get your previous arrest? Was that hard? Did you get out of the country to leave the country?
No, surprisingly, they let me right in.
Oh wow! Well, New Zealand and Australia are all in the whole country based on
they're
like
pretty lenient out there.
Yeah, yeah. So okay, so you don't even know where you now. How's your weight? At that point.
My weight was good. Honestly, that was something that I thought was going to be a big issue. I haven't cut weight in fuck who knows how many years. So, and I walk around at like 190 to 200 pounds.
You're getting kind of fat.
Yeah, I'm a pretty big boy for lightweight.
And you got down to what, 155?
Yeah, I get down to 155. 156. So, I usually try to get to 156.
So 2 weeks out of New Zealand, how much do you weigh?
I was really light. I was about 166 to 168.
How did you get to LA?
I honestly have no clue. Like, normally, a week out of the fight, I'm still 170. Like, fight week, I'm 170, and I'll cut, like, you know, a few more pounds, and then I drain myself water the rest. But this time, I was so light, I honestly had no fucking clue what was going on. I think it was just, like, my mental ability, my mental, like, stability and everything I've gone through. And
So you, like, get out to
just
New
knowing
Zealand,
I get
right?
the fight, I was just super
stoked.
You
get to New Zealand, you're 167, you said?
Yeah, I think I was, like, 166 when I landed.
So you're 11 pounds over. You
which
got
is
fight,
perfect.
Fight in 2 weeks, but you have no idea where to train.
Yeah.
So how did you find a gym?
So my buddy Rob Vincent, who introduced me to a couple friends, one of them actually owns a gym in Auckland. So I was staying in Rotorua the first week I was there, which is 3 hours from Auckland. So he's in Auckland. The fights are in Auckland. But I wanted to stay. I wanted to go somewhere else because I wanted to sightsee while I was out there too. I went out there not only for the fight, but to get a kind of an experience of the country. I've never been there. It's a bucket list country. So I was like, fuck it.
Right.
So I introduced him. I didn't train, I think, for like the first 2 days I was there. I was kind of just sightseeing. I went on a couple hikes and stuff and just, you know, did my own thing that way. I got in with him. And then what I would do is in the mornings I would go on a hike or I would run or do something. And then at night I would drive to Auckland. I'd train there from 6 to 9 and then I would drive back to Rotorua every night. And that was like my schedule.
Wow.
For the first.
But now who are you training with?
Almost week. Just guys out there. New Zealand top team.
Are they good?
Yeah, they got some pretty good guys out there.
I mean, are you worried that like...
The level isn't like what it is out here because we're kind of spoiled like in America by what we have, like our resources and the people. But they have some pretty good guys out there, like
so
good training
partners.
You drive
3 hours
sure.
every night to train?
Yeah, I'll drive 3 hours out there. Which out there...
There's no closer gyms?
There was, but I didn't realize it at the time. So in Rotorua, there's actually an affiliate of top team out there. So,
and nobody told you this?
No, I found out like 4 days later. Because as I'm over there, I'm meeting people. I'm like, hey, what's up? I'm Vince. You know what I mean? And of course, everyone like totally is cool with me because I'm a fighter in the UFC and like they don't come around too often there. So it was really cool. They're like treating me really well. But yeah, after a couple of days, he's like, hey, he's like, you're driving out here today. He's like, you know, they're like one of us out there in Rotorua. And I'm like, oh, for real? So he introduced me to them.
Aren't you worried though that like someone's gonna try to hurt you or like that's maybe like these aren't the best training partners or someone's gonna go too hard or?
Yeah, I always worry about that. But honestly, when I'm in fight camp, it's not me that has to worry. It's the people that I train with. Because even when I go to other gyms, I'm on, so I don't ever, you know what I mean? I'm the guy that's out there killing the other people, you know what I mean? Like, I don't slouch at all when I'm in fight camp. I'm 100% dedicated and determined, and my focus is there. So I'm always, like, on top of it, and I rarely have to worry about that.
Now, I feel like they brought you in to lose. Like, I feel like they're like, listen... UFC is like, well, listen, this guy he hasn't fought in 4 years. We have him under contract. We technically can't cut him because he won. He has a record of 9-1.
Yeah, I was 2-1 in the UFC.
Okay, 2-1. Maybe they can cut you now, but back then they couldn't cut you. Maybe when the contract you signed or whatever the deal is.
Yeah, I still have my Ultimate Fighter contract.
So they have to sort of keep you, right?
Yeah.
So
I mean, the UFC can do what they want.
They're like,
don't
you
have
know,
to keep anything.
Right? But they're like, you know what? Let's bring him in. We'll make this local guy look good. And the guy came on strong. I mean,
yeah.
He came on. I was for a second. I was like, "Fuck."
He came at me pretty confident.
I was like, "Shit!" Like, no, please don't let this happen. He was ambushing you.
Yeah.
But you hit him. What? Going backwards? Tell me what happened. Talk to me. What happened?
Well, I mean, I didn't really watch much tape on this guy. I just saw a little bit that how he rushes in like he was doing with me. He comes in with punches and bunches, and I mean, from what I saw, he doesn't really look where he's punching. He just throws him and kind of, I don't know, just spray and pray kind of swinging guy. So I was like, whatever, I'm going to catch him, you know what I mean? I just got to keep my defense up, make sure I'm watching his arms at all times. And I knew eventually I would catch him with either like a hook, a stepping back hook, or an uppercut, because I've been practicing that a lot. I catch a lot of guys like that now. Like, I've been changing up my style a lot, so I kind of wanted to play with that, practice that. I saw him coming in. I was moving straight back, getting chewed up by my coach the whole fucking time because he had no clue what was going on in my head, you know, what I'm thinking because I'm in the fight. We obviously didn't get to go between rounds so I could explain to him what I was thinking.
Your coach was yelling at you.
Yeah.
What was he saying?
Tell me to fucking keep my hands up. Don't stand in front of him. Like, basically talking shit as much as he could to me.
And
the whole
which
time.
Coach is this?
Brian Peterson. He's my head coach. Him, a little bit of Pete, too.
Are these the guys at Alliance?
These are my coaches I've been with since the beginning. So.
In Simi Valley?
Brian Peterson came from Big John McCarthy's in Valencia.
Right.
Big John McCarthy's gym closed down, so now Brian's got his own place called Peterson Grapplers in Valencia still. I train with Peter Cunningham at Sugarfoot Training Center. I'm at Street Sports, and then I train at City of Dong in Azusa.
Okay.
So I'm fucking all over the place right now. But my coaches I bring is Brian Peterson, Peter Cunningham, and then I bring Herman Baltazar, who's a training partner / coach. He helps me a lot with a lot of my stand-up and just getting
in
shape.
So they're screaming like, what are you? Because I was screaming the same thing. I'm like, no, what the?
Yeah.
I thought for a second, I was like, shit, maybe Vince took too much time off.
Yeah, maybe the ring rust got to me or some shit. Yeah.
moment. I was worried. And then all of a sudden, you hit that, and I'm like, wow, Vince has some serious power.
I know, like, I mean, not to, like, be boasting too much, but I do have serious power. When I hit people, like, when I train and I spar with heavyweights. Because when I hit guys
really?
My weight and smaller guys, like, I fucking rock them, and, like, they'll do half a round to a round, they're done. So
like
I feel
heavyweights as in Kelvin Gastelum heavyweights, or, like, legit heavyweights?
Like, legit heavyweights sometimes.
Aren't
like,
you worried about them hitting you and your brain going?
No, because I'm a lot faster, and I don't really get hit. Like, I don't know, like, the way I've usually fought, like, is kind of like this... almost like a brick wall, like a slow-moving brick wall, you know what I mean? Where now I'm changing my style, where I'm using my speed and my footwork, and I'm actually, I don't like, typically I don't really get hit too often, but now it's like cutting down even more. So when I train with big guys like that, I'm the fast guy. Like, I have videos on my phone I'll show you.
That's great. So you hit him. Did you know right away the fight's over?
No, I hit him. He went down. I had no idea where he went. It was kind of like he just disappeared on me. Because... He was like, okay, I was standing southpaw, and I was like, okay, he's going to come at me right here. I could see it. I switched stance. I remember smacking hand out of the way, throwing a hook, stepping back, and then throwing that uppercut. And when I threw that uppercut, I came back, and I charged up for a hook. And when I threw my hook, he was gone, and I missed. And I was like, oh, shit, I looked down, and he was sitting. Like, he was basically in blow drop position. And I was like, fuck. I just gave the uppercut, knocked him on his back. And
were
then,
you almost instinctually going to, like, grab the back of his head and start getting a blowjob?
Just put my arms around my head and just posture up.
Yeah.
No, but, so I hit him. He went down, and I was kind of surprised because I knew I hit him, but I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, it's always those shots that you don't realize how hard you hit the guy or how good you hit the person when they go down.
Or the fight. I mean, this guy obviously had no respect for your power.
No, which I was kind of... I was a little shocked because when I hit him a couple times and I saw him, like, jump. Like, you hit people sometimes, and when you rock them, you could see their body jolt. And I hit him twice, and I saw his body jolt. So I know when I hit him, I rocked him, you know what
right.
I mean?
Right. Now, was and, he complaining the fight was stopped too early or no?
No. I don't think he... He knew. He knew. I think he was just upset because he had so much... I guess I can only say it's just hope what? That he was going to beat
me. I'm watching it again.
Yeah.
I'm watching it back right now. And out of nowhere, some right hand comes, and this dude just fucking...
He just crumbled.
Honestly, and like, you went crazy afterwards. Now, was that for...
I'm watching that, too.
Now, was that 4 years of... Because I know, like, people don't know this about you, Vince, is that you've been battling depression, you lost a super hot girlfriend, you've been doing...
Wow! I was about to say, there's a lot of salt in this kitchen.
This guy's doing so much salt in my cooler right now.
You've been doing AAA.
Yeah, he's right. I have been doing really fucking shit.
We're talking tow trucks, not baseball.
You got fired from AAA, tow trucks, then you sued them, and they didn't pay you.
Aren't you an exterminator?
Then you were an exterminator at one point. Now you're an electrician. I mean, is that 4 years of just pent up frustration, just finally like Like, so, is that the moment it all
like,
came
no matter who it was, honestly, it's going to get fucked.
Honestly, that's a fraction of, like, all the fucking anger and just pissed off, just boiling blood that I've had in me over these last few years.
Can we talk to a few of your training partners over the 3 years and see if they're still willing to get back in the...
Honestly, yeah, they would say some shit.
Like, is that... Because it felt like I was, like... I mean, I was so happy for you, man. And I'm like, man, this... I was telling my wife, I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, this is not a guy that just, you know... I hate to fucking harp on Sage Northcutt because, but I'm just going to use him as an example of a guy.
Oh, when I was calling him out?
No, no, but who's been, like, bred to fight and had every opportunity. And,
oh, yeah.
And, like, here's this and here's that. And his father's a black belt. The Seuss is a yeah. black belt. This
All
is
the opportunities in the world.
Yeah, it's even tougher for him, like, a Dominic Cruz story because Cruz can do analyst. He's been a champ. It's all there. This guy he's got to supplement his life.
Tooth and nail. I mean, you don't even start fighting.
I text Dominic, too, talking shit like, what's up? I think I went up to you, motherfucker.
You don't even start fighting until you were 27 years old. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, is that what it was? I mean, tell me what you were going through when you got that win.
Honestly, it was just like a... I can't describe it, man. Besides,
I was going to say, are there words?
Yeah, just by being on top of a fucking mountain like a crazy person twirling around. Like, I don't know. Just this feeling of just extreme happiness came over me, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
At that moment, you're waiting for Dana to just throw the belt around your waist. Like, this is how I feel right now. I feel like I just won the title.
I'm just kind of like, okay, where's that 50 grand? I know that's mine. Like,
Dana!
No, I didn't. Dan Hooker got
it.
Son of a bitch, Dan Hooker. Dan Hooker knocked out Ross Pearson like two fights after with that knee.
Yeah,
it was. As soon as I saw it, I was like, fuck, there goes that 50 G's.
Who got the other performance that night?
I think Hunt and Lewis.
Oh, yeah, that was a good fight, too.
Which, I mean, Hunt could have got it. Yeah, I did. I was in the back picking out watching it.
Yeah.
Hunt definitely got out. Lewis, I mean, that guy, what the fuck, dude?
Well, talk about it. He's got a fight coming up against
does he?
Against Verdum.
Yeah, oh, no way. 216.
Which people ask me about that fight. And I'm like, you know what? I'm happy he's still fighting. I knew he wasn't going to retire. You can't go from like being at the kind of the top of he's at his peak.
I think that was excuses. That motherfucker was in the back eating a rack of ribs before he went out to fight. Like
really?
I was back. We were in the same dressing room. He was back there, full blown fucking pigging out. No bib, no nothing. Just
ribs?
Eating. Dude.
He's
yeah.
like fucking Jumbo from The Replacements.
Dude,
remember
rack,
when he was eating eggs before
limbs.
The game?
A rack of ribs. I'm not talking like you know like something we eat like four or five ribs. Like a fucking rack, dude. Like there's 20 ribs on this bitch.
That's the thing.
Wait, was that wait was that the same fight where he was grabbing his stomach the whole time because he said he had to take a shit and he didn't want to shit in the octagon?
No, he ate a poo poo. No, this.
That was a different one.
Before.
Oh,
that was
okay.
the one before. Who was it that he was fighting?
Before that, he ate chili.
It was chili. That's what it was.
No, no.
It was chili.
No, the thing was is that Derek Lewis, look, Derek Lewis is an incredible athlete.
He's a big, scary black guy.
But I do think that if he wants to compete at that level, he's got to get serious about his training.
This is gonna make things. Fighting Verdum?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of times, like, I remember he was fighting, I think he was fighting Roy Nelson, and he was down, or he was in the mount. He was fighting someone, and he was down in, like, guard. And he just basically stood up from guard. And, like, Brian Stann is like, I remember Brian Stann going, he's doing everything wrong.
Was that the Shamil Abdurakhimov fight where it was boring for four rounds, and then he all of a sudden just knocked
Maybe
him out
that
on the
was
ground?
It, but I remember Brian Stann saying, he's doing everything technically wrong, but because of his athleticism and his sheer strength, it's working. However, that's not going to work against Verdum.
No like, fucking
you know,
way.
You can't just stand up from guard against Mauricio Verdum. I mean, one of the
baddest black belts
maybe
in the heavyweight
fifth
division.
Round or maybe.
Dude, if he gets taken down by Verdum, he ain't getting up.
That's the thing. And you know, eating ribs before fights and all this other shit. It's just at a certain point, you can get away with that shit, and then you can't.
Yeah.
And is he focused more on post-fight celebrations? Because the fight and the knockout was good, but where's Ronda Rousey's fine ass at? Like, that's kind of more impressive than your fight. So.
Well, that's the thing also. But
what, did you practice that or was that natural? You never know.
But back what you were saying, like I've had those moments, Vince, where like, you know, doing comedy 20 years, starting out giving out, you know, plunging toilets to get on stage, being rejected by, I don't know, 9,000 casting directors and 8 million fucking auditions and being spit on the fucking corner of the street while I'm giving out flyers to, get, you know, flying to England for a show, not getting allowed in the country, getting flown back home and not getting paid after being, you know, from it. So I understand that, like, when I did the Tonight Show or Last Comic Standing, there are moments where you're just like, man, like, this is all worth it. Like, I did it. Like, everything that I fucking grinded, and that's That's what I do, and I hate to
take, it's a sense of accomplishment. It is.
And
it's
I hate to take shit out on, like, I hate to generalize millennials as a whole, but there's this whole generation of people that everybody wants to win,
they think,
but
they're,
nobody
they think
wants
they're,
to go to wrestling practice. Yeah. And there's a whole generation of people that,
they think they're owed something.
They think they're owed something, and they want that instant gratification, whether it's via Snapchat or it's via
Twitter,
Instagram,
live story.
Everybody wants that adulation, but nobody wants to spend the fucking hours and hours and hours that it takes to, and the failure. People don't realize how much failure is in. It's like people all the time say to me, "Hey man, I want to become a comic. How do I become a comic?" It's like saying, "I want to become a black belt, but I don't want to go to jiu-jitsu practice."
Yeah.
But like, no, it's not going. I mean, maybe
you're
now
gonna
you,
get shit on
I mean,
for
you
10 years.
Take the Gracie course online or something. But
yeah,
but,
get the videos. Download the videos.
There's no way you could ever become a black belt without getting tapped out in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
It's not going.
You have to get shit on to progress at anything like
it's
that.
It's a sport where you definitely fail more than you get ahead at times.
Yeah.
And I think one of the other unfortunate things is with the fans, it's like, "Oh, you lost, man. That sucks. Better luck next time." And that's all it is. It's like, we'll wait for his next fight. To them, to anybody that's lost in the cage or anywhere, you're sitting there and you're like, this could be the end of my life. This could be the end of my world.
Well,
and nobody's thinking about
that. Let's talk about that again. Because, Vince, I called you.
That's like a heartbreak, man. Losing was like getting your heart broken. That shit sucks.
Well, I talked to you, Vince, yesterday. And I'm like, "Hey, you want to do the podcast?" I'm like, "Where are you?" It was, I called you, I think, 8:30. I was going to do a show.
Was it only 8:30?
It was, and you're like, I'm out of high school. I'm like, "What are you doing out of high school?" Well, it's kind of weird that you're out of high school, but okay.
Picking up
and
women.
Yeah, I'm like, "What are you doing?" You're like, "Oh,
just feeling rapey."
You're like, "I'm putting in electricity." So now you're an electrician.
Oh, yeah, I'm an electrician. Yeah, so I'm a union electrician in the Ventura Union in the 952.
How did you get that job?
I actually, before I started fighting, I was an electrician. I did that during the day, and then my life has always been crazy for fighting. Like, I've always had a day job where I worked all day and then I trained at night. But I did it at first, and I did it for a couple years, and I liked it. And when, so these last 3 years that I was out, I was really contemplating, like, quitting fighting, because I didn't think I was going to be able to fight again. I didn't think I was going to be able to compete at the level. It's just such a fast sport that you take one step back and everyone's taking 10 steps forward. So I was like, "Fuck, I need to get a job." You know, now the job that I'm going to get, because I had to quit AAA because all that bullshit. But I'm like, I need to get a job, and this job that I'm going to get a job that's going to be my career. So when I'm done fighting, you know what I mean, I have something to back on. Because, like, I can kind of coach, but I'm not really a very good teacher. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I brought you to wrestling practice. You didn't know one move.
No. And, I mean, that's wrestling. I suck at wrestling, so.
The kids were showing Vince wrestling
moves.
Yeah,
I'm just like, "Yeah, good job there, guy. That's a nice, what do you call that again? Oh, double leg?" Okay.
I'm like, "He's in the UFC." They're like, "Can I be in the UFC too?"
Yeah, all right, sure. Sky's the limit, kid.
All right, go on.
So, fuck, I forgot. I was even
so you were like, you need some kind of a trade.
Oh, yeah. So I'm like, I need some kind of career for when I'm done fighting, because there's no money in coaching, really, you know what I mean, unless you're a top 10 coach, and I don't see that happening anytime soon. So I was like, "Fuck, I'm going to be an electrician and join the union. It's a good job. They have super good pensions, all medical benefits, you know what I mean? I'll get paid good, and, like, it's a good job." So I have a couple friends who did it too. I had an uncle's electrician. So I applied, joined, and then here I am. So now I'm an electrician. I work at night and then train during the day. I'll train, like, right now my training's kind of shitty because my hours are fucked. I'm training I'm working from, like, 4 p.m. to 2:30 in the morning. But I'm working Monday through Friday, or Monday through Thursday, so I have Friday, Saturday, Sunday off, which is cool. So
is
I train.
Is it good money? Is it $100,000 a year?
Nah, it's a little less. I'm making like 50, 60 a year right now.
But benefits?
With benefits, and then I'm gathering pension credits. Like, our pension, I'll work for 20 years and I'll be able to retire with making more money than when I work. So.
Okay. So how long till you can retire?
20 years.
20 years?
Yeah, so I got to work 20 years.
Damn. That's you're a man.
That's a lot to think about.
Yeah,
the next 20
TV's
years.
Never worked 20 minutes.
Well, I'm 30. I'm 34. I'm be 35. So that's 55. You know what I mean?
55.
That's not bad.
No, but you're
that's,
a man's yeah, man. But what about like?
I'm a worker. You know what I mean? I work with my hands. I'm not a fucking office guy. I can't sit and punch fucking computer keys all day. I gotta check my hands.
All the respect in the world, and like, I would love it if all of a sudden my cable broke and the UFC guy showed up. Like, that to be pretty
cable guy.
Have you talked to Sean Shelby about a fight coming up? Or
yeah, I was actually trying to fight again after my fight. I was trying to fight right after, so I didn't sustain any injuries. I wasn't hurt at all, so I was trying to fight within a month after that. And because another thing too is I'm going to school. So
what are you going to school for?
Electrical school.
Okay.
So I go to school twice a week. I can only miss so many days of school.
What are you learning? What kind of school?
It's an electrician school.
But you're already an electrician.
I am, but I'm learning like the craft in and out. You know what I mean? Like when before. So here, let me explain to you a little bit. There's like union electricians, which is what I am. There's a non-union. So non-union is typically the guys that you see that like come for service stuff and like do residential houses, things like that. The union guys typically do commercial industrial stuff, like the real big stuff. Like we do some house stuff, but it's typically commercial industrial things. But non-union guys will basically, they'll just hire some guy off the street and, you know, they'll teach them as they go. Where the union, they put you through schooling, they pay for it. So you like are a highly qualified electrician. Like after this 5-year course, I'll be able to basically work anywhere in the world. So
That's a lot more money.
And there's a lot more money in it,
and
yeah.
And there's insurance. And if you get hurt on the job, you get covered.
Totally covered, yeah.
Right.
So it's just a better way to
now
go.
Now, does it bother you, though? And I hate to be like that guy, but that you're one of the best fighters in the world. You're in the UFC. Because
yeah.
I get that, like, there's nobody in the NBA that's an electrician right now. I mean, maybe after they've retired or whatever. But you're knocking fuckers out on Fox Sports. I mean, I saw you do it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And now you're working as electrician. Is there a part of you that's like, wait, what the hell's going on here?
It is a little bit, but I'm a humble guy. Like, for me, being what I do, like, in the spotlight and, like, kind of like a celebrity, you know what I mean, to people of sorts, like, I don't see myself as that. I'm just a normal person just doing what I love to do, you know? Like, fucking fighting's just fun for me. I don't know. Like, the best friends I have are the ones in the gym that we punch each other every fucking day, you know what I mean? We fuck each other up, and then afterwards we'll go have a beer or eat about
it. Maybe that should be your gimmick. You know how, like, wrestlers have, like, you're the Vince the Electrician, and then you come out with, like, a cable or something.
My tool belt on and shit.
Yeah, your tool belt on.
Comes out with a taser. A fucking cattle prod watching the ring. Don't fuck with me.
Wouldn't that be awesome? And then, like, your finishing move is, like, the Shocker or something.
Two Sam's Hammer in the nuts.
Wait, did Tanya tag in?
Yeah, maybe not the Shocker.
What?
That's just how it is, though. I mean, you
or the
know,
shock
I am, like,
master.
I work, same as you. Like, you do your thing. You do what you gotta do.
I'm
sure you're that way too. Like, you got a job. You fucking, you know.
Oh, he's not like us.
He
just got a job for the first time in his life two weeks
ago.
That's
not actually true.
He's trying to move back.
I have a job and I've worked.
You work for Postmates for 1 hour.
Postmates?
Yeah, I'm not
talking about
1 hour. You worked 1 hour.
I'm not talking about Postmates.
That's an online thing, isn't it?
Yeah, no,
yeah,
no. You
it's
go
like
deliver
Uber,
food.
But for food.
Yeah. Uber for food.
Except one day I had to go pick up some like 20-year-old kid's underwear and socks at the Westside Pavilion, and I delivered it to him, and he's younger than me. It's like Polo Ralph Lauren fucking socks and underwear, and I'm like, yeah, I really don't want to be fucking doing this.
No,
yeah,
but
that's
I
a
do
big
understand.
Pride swallow
like,
right
like
there.
I don't want to be standing outside the dime bar being like, hey, comedy show tonight on Mondays and Tuesdays while people walk around and go, no, thank you. Is Crystal Leah on or something? Like, I don't want to be doing that. You know, I don't necessarily want to be, I'm selling TV shows, I'm uploading this, I'm doing the podcast, I'm doing comedy every night, I'm going to Mongolia.
Yeah, you're doing it because you love it. You want a sense of accomplishment for doing what you love to do.
But there are times that I watch TV, though, on these fucking Netflix, and I see these comics, and they're telling these long fucking boring ass stories, and I'm like, man, I'm getting 12 fucking laughs per minute or 27 laughs per minute, and killing.
Now I have a question: is that how they rate you guys? Like, let's say rankings, like comedian rankings.
They
like
should.
This guy gets 12 laughs
they
a minute.
Should.
This guy gets 13.
I wish they did it, but the problem is that you could argue that yeah, you're getting laughs, but how are the laughs you're getting? Like, are they just fucking dick jokes or are they?
Well, plus,
laughs a laugh.
Yeah, but the audience based on the set material as well.
Yeah,
the audience could be super, you know, PC, and then like you or Greg goes out there, fucking,
groans.
I'm doing coke out of somebody's ass, and they're like, this isn't funny at all.
So,
hey man, that's luck of the draw, you know.
It's all relative, what I'm trying to say is that there are times that I look at it and I'm like, but I have to not do that. I have to have blinders on. And it's hard because I'll go on Periscope or, you know, Instagram Live, and my first fucking
I had no idea what that was until I did it with you that one time.
And my first thing is, why don't you have a Netflix special? Why aren't you there?
Yeah, why don't you?
Why don't...
I went to Netflix. I know some people. I mean,
I'm
can
trying,
like,
motherfucker.
Like, I did some electricity at the Netflix headquarters. I could talk to some people.
Look, I'm trying to sell to you. Or like, why aren't you here? Why don't you?
How'd you get a Netflix special? From hell.
But the thing is that like you, Vince. My goal is to be the best. Well, you're trying to be the best fighter you can be. My goal is to be the best comic that I can be, and hopefully things. Like, being the best comic I can be,
now,
shit happens for
now
me.
Now, let me ask you a question. is you being the best comic you could be the best comic you could be in your eyes, or the best comic you'd be in what others perceive you
as? See, it's so subjective. Like, luckily for you, you're in a field that's not that subjective. You could, if you
get the fuck out of here.
If you knock out the champion, you're the champion.
Yeah, but if I lose, I'm a fucking loser. It's so biased.
I think I understand, though. It's a little more finite in yours. And, like, you're all going out punching, kicking, submitting.
I've auditioned for shows, right, where it's 10 comics on the lineup. And I've had the best set on the fucking lineup by far. But I didn't get the show because the person before me is managed by this person
exactly.
who made a phone call and they owe a favor to. And that's sort of like where I wish.
Politics, yours is very subjective.
Very subjective. And it's also a lot of shit. But eventually, you get good enough where they can't say no. Yeah. And that's what I'm hoping for. And that's why I'm doing every fucking show and writing every day and fucking yada, 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 yada. So I understand what you're going through. But so when's your next fight? That's the fucking point.
I don't know. So I was actually eyeballing the thing. So, oh yeah, so continuing my story, I'm in school now, and I only miss so many days of school. So I was trying to fight before August 7th, which is when I started school again. So I was hitting up Sean Shelby. I told him July 29th there was a fight in Anaheim. I want to get on that card. Didn't work out. He goes, what about July 8th in Vegas? And I think I didn't get home until... I stayed out there a week after, so I got home, I think, the 25th of June. So he's like, what about the 8th? And I was like, that's kind of soon. Fuck it. Give me an opponent. I'll do it. I think like a week out, I still didn't hear an opponent, so I'm like, you know what? Fuck that. Give me something else. Then I think there was like,
you think
July
8th. Do you think guys don't want to fight you because, A, you're not ranked, and, B, you have ridiculous power?
I think that, and then also, C, is I haven't been fighting for a while, so they don't know what to expect. Like, the guy just fought Damian Brown. He had no clue what I was going to come out and do. And you could tell when I came out there that he knew... he had in his mind he was going to come out there and he was going to knock me out. And you could tell that he had that set in his mind. But when I came out there and I was kind of taking it and landing better shots on him, he didn't adjust his plan. He did what he was still doing. So it totally surprised him. He you know what I mean? He got knocked out for it. So I think that's a thing that people are kind of a little timid about too. But... I didn't want to miss school, so I was trying to fight July 8th, then July 16th, and then July 25th, and then the 29th was out of the question, and then August 5th there was a card, and then none of it worked out, so I'm like, fuck. You know, I'm like, all right, well, you know, maybe next time. And then he hit me up September. He wanted me to fight September something in Philly. Philly? Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh. Good card.
He wanted me to fight a Canadian guy and someone else, and I was like, nah, I can't fight that soon. I'm working nights right now. There's no way I could train for that.
Come on, man. You're in your prime, though, dude. You're going to have your whole life to work electricity if you want.
Yeah,
you're in your fighting prime.
But honestly, like, if I'm going to take a fight like that and say, like, I could take time off work. It's no big deal. Like, the union's cool about it. But if I'm going to do that, I'm gonna do that for someone that's a little... worth my while, you know what I mean? I'm not going to fight someone who's relatively unknown or
who do they give you?
I'm looking at names
someone
right
I've never
now.
Even heard of. But
what was his name?
I'll tell you right now.
I'm looking at names that'd be fun for him. And there's a guy that just dropped out of a fight.
Who?
That's injured for a little bit. I think him and Abel Trujillo would be fun.
Oh, that'd be a good fight.
I think that's a really good fight. I think both got power, both got speed, but his grappling and jiu-jitsu is probably better.
I like Abel, but I think you could break him. Yeah. I don't think he can break you.
I would eventually. I would eventually just steamroll him.
But you have to be careful for his power.
Or like a Yancy Medeiros type fight. But Yancy, I think, went up to 170 now.
So first it was Gregor Gillespie, an undefeated guy.
Oh, they were gonna okay.
And then I was like, I don't even know who that is now.
He's kind of building a name.
And then Oliver Aubin.
Oh,
Olivier Aubin Mercier.
He's a good fighter. He beat our boy Vince Michel, right?
That's Vince Michel, right?
No,
there.
He beat our boy David Michaud.
OAM is a tough
guy. Oh, the guy we were just talking about?
No, there's a guy who's fighting tonight in LFA who is a Native American.
Was
in the UFC, lost to that guy. He comes out to
Taylor Swift.
He trains at TriStar.
That guy does, but the guy who's fighting tonight, who he beat, is fighting an LFA, David Michaud, who comes from the reservation in South Dakota. His beautiful girlfriend, her name is Hermione Horses. Because they're Native American.
Oh, that's like an Indian name. Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
and he's like, you gotta check him out. He's a good dude. He's trying to get back into the UFC. He lost to
Lima,
but it was a close fight. I thought he
was
kind of
very, very.
I thought he might have won that fight. But OAM's a good fighter.
OAM's a good fighter. I look at OAM for you kind of like the Khabalov fight without as much power, but he's very, very grappling oriented. Okay. Has decent stand up, but on the feet, if you tagged him once, I think he goes down. But the grappling is where I worry.
A lot of people know is like my jits is pretty good. Like I'm a brown belt. Like
that doesn't
my
bother
jits
me.
Is good. My wrestling since the Khabalov fight, I've worked a lot of my wrestling.
Who are your brown belt under?
Brian Peterson.
Nice.
But since that Khabalov, since that loss, I've been concentrating a lot on my wrestling. My wrestling's actually picked up a lot, too.
So do you still want to fight by the end of the year?
Yeah.
What about the MSG card?
Maybe. I mean, I honestly, like, so my, because of school, I can only fight in the States. And I can't fight anywhere that's going to cause me issues, like a high altitude area where I have to go there early. Because I'm only able to miss 2 days of school. So I'm going to miss those 2 days of school the week of the fight. And I want to plan that, you know what I mean? So that's why, like, if I go out of the country, I want to go there 2 weeks ahead again, like I did New Zealand. And just to have the experience and hang out and, you know what I mean, get acclimated and whatnot.
Have you noticed the Roasted fans are behind you? Do you get a lot of...
Yeah, actually, I do. I love the Roasted fans, too. Yeah,
they're you're like the people's champ.
I know. They keep trying to get me to come on the show, too. They want me to come. I wish I could.
No.
I wish I could be here every time.
Oh, no, you're great, man. I mean, yeah, I honestly, like... Now, when you fight, do all the electricians stop and, like, put on TV and watch you? Is it like...
Yeah.
Cheering? Really?
Yeah, the Union boys support me big time.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, at least if nothing else, they're definitely not going to have any cable issues.
That's funny. That's true.
Oh, funny story about that. Too is last night. Okay, so I'm working at this high school in Santa Paula, and I'm a junk food junkie. So we're at Jack in the Box. We're fucking eating. I'm eating my stuffed jalapenos and my spiced chicken sandwich.
For any fighters listening that might be fighting Vince, he likes Jack in the Box.
Del Taco is my favorite, but I love those stuffed jalapenos from Jack in the Box. I cannot say no to those things for some reason. I'm just a whore for those things. But anyway, we're in Jack in the Box. I'm eating my fucking stuffed jalapenos. This guy comes busting in the fucking door. No shirt, bleeding from his fucking arm, sweating his ass off. His face is red. Like, instantly I knew this guy got pepper sprayed the shit out of his face. Like, his eyes are burning out of his fucking head. You could tell. His face is red. Comes in, slams into this wall, right? It's on my Instagram story. He slams into this wall, making noises, comes in. He's like, he can't see where he's going. He walks along the wall, goes in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So he's in there, I'm guessing, taking a bird bath, like, washing his face out, which I'm like, I've been pepper sprayed, so I'm like, water's only going to make that shit worse. Like, give me fucking milk or some shit, you know what I mean? So he's in there for a good 5-10 minutes. We're eating, and me and two of my coworkers, who I grew up with, we're sitting there, we're kind of looking around, and we're like, does this seem kind of strange that this guy came in with his eyeballs burning out of his fucking head, and no one thought this was strange? Like, there's people in there, and no one even, like, thought twice.
No, they probably gave him free food or something. Go on.
Yeah, so he walks out of the bathroom, he comes out, and he's, like, standing up against he's, like, leaning up against the rail, and he's like, that's the guy.
Yeah.
He's leaning up against that rail right there, and he's making these fucking noises.
Big gut, by the way. His pants are down his ankles.
Big cholo looking dude.
Yeah.
So I'm like, hey, guy, are you okay? He's like, I need a hose. Do you have a hose? And I'm like, nah, I'm in Jack in the Box with
you,
guy.
Like a chick, actually, like a hoe. All right, go on.
No, like a garden hose.
I know what he meant. Go on.
Oh, the last video Vince posted, this guy's standing at the door to walk outside, and it looks like he's crying.
All right, so
he's
what happened?
Making noises. So I'm like, hey, guy, are you all right? He's like, I need a hose. Do you have a hose? I was like, no, I'm in Jack in the Box with you, guy. Like, there's no garden hoses around
here.
Where
am I going?
So then he goes, I go, did you get pepper sprayed? I was like, were you running for the cops? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, the cops went that way, so I'm pretty sure he got away. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, good job. He's like, I'm hurting. I'm like, I know. You look like you get the shit sprayed at you.
How did the cops not catch that guy?
I don't know. And that's why I'm like, are you serious? He couldn't see where he was going. He got away from the cops.
It was the worst fucking... What is that?
A blind guy gets away from the cops.
What is it, police academy?
Like, yeah, and he's like bleeding. He's got no shirt. He's a very noticeable guy. Like, if you see that guy, you notice
him. Yeah,
you
know? I mean, that's like a 7-foot-2 black guy, naked black guy.
I saw 12 seconds on video, and I could spot him in the fucking crowd
right now.
Yeah, what
kind of cops are those?
So we're sitting there, and I'm laughing, and I'm feeling him, and I'm doing that video, and all of a sudden I hear him like, oh, you think this is funny?
I'm filming over my shoulder
and I looked at it, and the thing is, like, looking at me, but I can't tell because it didn't really register in my head that he's looking at me because the camera. So he's like, oh, you think this is funny, huh? I try and look, and he's looking at me, and I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, oh, my bad. I'm like, yeah, it is kind of funny. I'm like what's funny is you fucking got pepper sprayed the shit out of, you got away from the cops, you're in here like washing your face or doing what the fuck, I don't know. You asked me for a garden hose, which I don't know what the fuck kind of drugs
you're on.
Like,
you have a garden hose laying around.
Yeah, so I'm like this acid is pretty fucking funny. Like, you're the highlight of my night, bro. Like, yeah, this is funny. And he's like, oh, yeah, motherfucker. And he starts talking to me.
Is that your ex-opponent?
I don't know.
No, but Vince said, Google me, bitch.
What is that guy's name? Cody Gibson?
Cody Gibson, yeah.
So I'm sitting there, I'm like, yeah, it's kind of funny, actually. And then he walks outside and he like goes to the door. He comes back and he's like, "What the fuck is so funny?"
Oh god!
And I'm like, "Dude, everything, bro. Like, what the fuck? It's funny. Get the fuck out of here, you know." And the Jackbox lady comes out and she's like, "You need to leave, sir. And for I call the cops and yada yada."
Oh god!
And the guy's that's the last like, thing he needs right now.
Yeah. And the guy's like, "Nah, fuck that. This guy thinks something funny." So he balls up his fist and he walks towards me. And I stood up, immediately kicked my chair out from beneath me, and like I put my hand out, and I'm like, stop. I'm like, right there, you need to stop. Like, if you come in my range right now, like, you're going down. Like, you're going to hit the ground pretty hard. Like, stay right there. Don't try to fight me. And the guy's like, fuck you. He starts saying some shit in Spanish. I'm like, dude, I don't care what you have to say, bro. I'm like, I'm laughing at you because you're fucking funny right now. You're killing me. Like,
right.
Like, get the fuck out of here. You know what I mean? Like, just take you running, getting away from the cops, blinded by pepper spray as a fucking sign and go home, will you?
Well, yeah, if he has a home.
If he has a home. So the girl from Jackbox shoves him out, and fuck, he takes off, man. And eventually, like, I'm laughing, and my coworkers are like this, with their phones out, ready to just record me beat this dude's ass.
Oh, God.
They're like, dude, I had World Star
You know what
would
have happened is that you
would have
knocked him out, and then it would have been like a hate crime against you, and then you ended up would have been like...
That video would have been everywhere.
UFC fighter beats up innocent homeless man.
Honestly,
you know
what would have happened is I wouldn't have hit him, like punched him. I would have like choked him unconscious, and I would have laid him down like he just went to sleep and just walked away and left him.
Vince Michelle pepper sprayed a homeless guy.
Yeah, it would have been...
and then whooped his ass.
It would have been like, pepper sprays him, chokes him out, and then leaves.
It would have been like 8 riots. Like, yeah, it just would have been bad. Ridiculous.
Homeless lives matter?
Yeah, that was
last night, right after I talked to you.
Oh, God.
Like, right after I talked to you.
That was your night. What did I do? I had a show in Santa Monica. Before that, Tuesday night was good. I did the Dime Bar Monday night. Yeah, actually, Russell
you
Peters
should do
came
some
by.
Friday night shows because I'm off Fridays.
Tonight,
Friday,
I'm
Saturday,
at the Haha.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm down. Give us tickets.
I got you.
I'm training at 5.
8:30 and 10:30.
8:30? If I can't make the 8:30, I'll make the 10:30 for sure.
But
can I bring a slut?
Yes, bring a slut. So we'll get to that in a second. So Tuesday night, I did a show. I was at the... Monday night was great. CB came. I had a bunch of new jokes. I did the Dime Bar. Russell Peters was there. It was packed. It was just one of those shows. And then Tuesday night, I'm on stage at the Dime, and I got to go to the Comedy Store right after. And they call me. They're like, "Where are you?" I'm like, "Shit, I'm on stage." I'm like, "Guys, I got to go." So I had to like run off stage. But I was already like 25 minutes into the set. So I go there, and Rogan's there.
Did you just walk off middle of your set?
Yeah, well, I was done. So I was like, plus I had like run the room, you know, like. Yeah. So I'm sitting in the back, and they're like, "You're on next. I got to introduce Ron White, right?" And then I'm looking to the right, and then all of a sudden there's like a face next to me. I look over, it's fucking Rogan. He's like, "Boo!" I'm like, "Oh shit!" Like, and then like normally with Rogan, like I have a kind of a weird relationship with Rogan. Like, I've always felt like. I've always tried too hard to be his friend. Like, I've wanted... You ever,
like that creepy friend fan that, like...
Kind of. Like, you ever want someone to like you so much that you just try way too fucking hard?
Yeah,
and then,
I'll shine your shoes. Let's
go.
No,
I hate people.
Maybe not you, but I was like that. So whenever I would see Rogan in the past, I would ask him 77 questions about fighting, and I could tell he just was not into it. But then he would remember everything I told him, because he would sometimes, like, mention my stories on the podcast, you know, on his podcast. I remember him, I told him a story about how I beat up a comic, and he mentioned it on the podcast. This comic attacked me. He sucker punched me, and I turned around and hit him like 5 times. And then while I was hitting him, he's like, "We'll die." He said I stole a joke from him. While I'm hitting him, he goes, "Come on, we'll die in hell together," which is a line from 300. So
oh my God.
He steals a line.
Yeah, as he's talking shit, you're stealing a line.
For stealing a joke. Yeah. So I tell Rogan that story. He tells it on his podcast because people were like hitting me up. So Rogan, this time I'm like, if I see Rogan, don't ambush him with fucking jokes. Because I've been on his podcast before, but I didn't really like how I came off on his podcast. Yeah. I felt like I was too high. I just got off a cruise ship. I drank like 90 ounces of fucking coffee, and I didn't even know where the fuck I was. And then he starts telling me, "Hey, you know, you like roast these fighters and this and that." I'm like, "Great, I've been fighters outside waiting to kick my ass." I didn't know
in the parking lot.
I didn't really know Rogan at that point that well. So anyway, cut to Tuesday night. I'm like, "All right, don't ask Rogan 100 fucking questions. If you see him, just be nice and, you know, just kind of play it cool." And then Rogan was like, "Hey, what's going on, man?" And then he starts asking me questions about fighting. He's like, "Hey, man." He's like, "I love your tweets. They're so funny. And I love your Instagram. And what do you think about this fight? What do you think about that fight?" And then I was like,
"You made it, Adam. You're slim."
I didn't make it, but I was like, "Man, like, if I just would just relax half, people actually might." Anyway, so I had to go introduce
Maybe
Ron
Rogan
White.
Like me now.
So I introduced Ron White, and I'm like, how should I introduce Ron White? So like, say he's a legend. So I go on stage, and I fucking have Higa Machado came to see me. I saw Higa, and I loved it. They didn't even like me. I did like 25 minutes.
Did he bring Cecilina?
He brought Cecilina. And then I go, "Guys, give it up for This next guy's a legend, but then I go too far. I go, he's one of the best comics ever.
Like, then I go too far.
I always go too fucking far. So I introduce Ron White, and Ron's like, wow, that was some intro. How am I going to follow that? I'm like, great, I fucked that up. But he did great. And then I had to judge the roast battle, which I always like. I'm a little bit like, I like being a judge, but it's like you don't want to be a dick to the guys, but you have to be funny.
Yeah.
So,
You gotta like roast as you're judging.
Yeah, you have to be roast, but I don't want to be a fucking complete asshole. And plus, I don't even want to do the roast battle unless it's somebody against. It's like a fighter. Like, I'll do the roast battle if it's against Ari Shaffir or Joe Rogan or somebody fucking bigger.
Brendan Schaub
or somebody fucking big as a comic. Not even Schaub because he's not really a comic. Callan. Somebody where like if I beat them, it's like, oh shit, he fuck. And I'm not gonna go up and get a guy who like they're gonna make a name off me. Yeah. You know, so. And if I do it, I'm going to spend all my fucking time and energy and life thinking about it. So then I got to put everything to the
fucking
side.
That's like the same reason why I wouldn't take those fights against people. How I have no clue who they are because it's like, why am I going to do that?
So that's all I'll focus on. So anyway, but I did. There was a guy in a wheelchair, a really funny comic, and he was losing at first, and then he came back. I'm like, well, you really ramped it up.
Shit.
So, like, I had a bunch of stuff like that. That was a lot of fun. So anyway, so that was cool. And then I did a show Wednesday night in the back of a taco place in like fucking
Colton. Oh, nice. Did they feed you?
They fed me, and yes, it was probably the best show I've ever fucking done. Like, it was like one of those shows where I'm like, why did I not fucking record this? Because like they were going crazy over everything, and of course there's this fucking hot 26-year-old chick with her dad, dad started heckling me, and I started killing him. I'm like, I'm gonna fuck your daughter tonight. You're gonna have to drive me home.
You have to drive me home in the morning.
Yeah, all this shit. And then afterwards,
oh my god, you're
and this
a fucking
chick,
nightmare.
This chick afterward was like, so what are you doing later? I'm like, I'm married.
Oh fuck.
I'm like, I'm
home to my wife.
Like, that's what I said. I'm like, I'm married, but you know, if this was 2 years ago, I'd be doing you.
Her dad's right there, and she's like, so?
She didn't care. Like, I even, so anyway.
You should don't.
That happens a lot now. Which, like, with girls, like, I think they feel.
Duh.
When you're married, I thought it was a myth.
No,
it's the George Costanza rule.
Yeah, you're like a piece of meat now that they want because they feel like you're giving something. Some girl has something that they want.
I'm trying to think of why it is, and I think of for a couple of reasons. Number one, they feel safe. Because you're not trying to fuck them. Well, I'm not. A lot of married guys are trying to fuck girls, but
I also know that some random girl somewhere decided to keep you around for the rest of their life.
For a reason.
That, yeah, and also, but I think also it's like because they don't have the power anymore. A lot of times you would talk to a chick because in the back of your head you're like,
yeah.
Man, I would like
POP's gone, huh? Taking away the POP.
You're taking away their power of you trying to have sex with them, if that's what
it
you're out for.
It just doesn't matter.
But, of course that's what you're out for.
If you're a cheater, it doesn't matter. You're just sitting there like, yeah, I'm married. Where are you going?
But I honestly don't cheat. People go, why don't you cheat? I've had guys been like, oh, you fuck around on the road, right? I go, no, I got a great woman.
Dude.
I got the best woman I've ever met in my life. But also, I'm not good at keeping secrets.
Your mouth is way too big. You would snitch yourself out. You would talk shit to yourself about yourself, and she'd just be right there.
I would beat myself up all day long for cheating. That's all I would think about.
And if you cheated, you'd also be beating yourself off.
No, I would. The whole time, I'd just be like, I'm a horror. I would just be. Finally, I would clear my conscience to her. I know I would. And it would be over. Or it wouldn't be over.
Even if it wasn't over, it's still awkward.
It's not a good character trait. I've been cheated on, too, and it's really shitty.
But it's not like I don't want to. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm still a fucking guy.
I'm alive.
Well, okay. This is the way I see it. Looking and actually touching are two different things. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, well. For any guy that says I don't want to cheat on their girlfriend is a fucking liar.
Yeah, he is.
And
especially if he says he never thought about it, like they're a fucking liar.
Oh, I mean, because
if your girl called you and was like, "You have one night, do whatever the fuck you want, I don't care," or you're gonna be like, "Fuck yeah!"
Well, if my girlfriend told me that, I'd be like, "Who are you trying to fuck, slut?"
Well,
like,
that
you know
too,
I mean?
But like, you don't just get open windows.
Whatever that movie is, I know what's going on.
But it's like saying I only eat healthy, right? I'm on a diet, I only eat healthy, and you see a cake fucking come by, and you're like, "Oh shit, that looks good." You're gonna tell me. You're obviously going to want that cake.
My face print's going to be in that cake.
If like you eat it, let's say you eat it and you die or whatever, you're not going to eat it, right? But you're not going to say, I don't want the fucking cake. Anyway, by the way, so what's going on with you with the girl? Any new chicks? Or obviously not, if you're bringing sluts. What happened? I had the last one, you said there was a girl that you liked that was hot. And what happened?
She cheated on me with some dude from church. You know that one?
No.
What
a girl from guy from church?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
Church is chicken.
Just part. It's part. No.
Wait. What happened?
That's even worse.
Yeah.
Or is it?
Go on.
I'm seeing this chick. She was super hot, totally cool chick. Me and her vibed really well. But she has that character flaw, and I knew it.
You knew she was a cheater beforehand?
Yeah, she's done it before. I've known her for a long time. So I was like, whatever. She was super hot. I'm like, I'll take a risk. I don't care. I'm not, you know what I mean? I don't have a girlfriend right now.
Great in bed?
Yeah, she's good. And cheated on me. You know, I kind of like knew.
How'd you find out?
Because her mom posted photos of like her and him on like Facebook and tagged only them.
That's not weird.
Yeah. So this is what happened. So I asked her, and I'm like, hey, what's up with this guy? And she's like, nothing. He's just a guy from church, yada, yada. I'm like, okay, cool. So then like a month later, me and her are still talking. We're kind of like, we're having fights. So we're like, you know what I mean? In and out of us like talking here and there.
Yeah.
And then, but never like actually broken up for what I know. We're just having fights. And, you know, he pops up again at her son. Like she has a son at her son's birthday party. And I wasn't invited. So I'm like, okay. I'd say, ask her again, what's up with this guy? You know, yada, yada. She's like, oh, it's nothing, this and that. And then I'm like, hey, whatever. Me and her go to a wedding right before I sign my fight contract, my last fight. And she was on her phone. And being kind of weird that night, she was on her phone. I looked. She's texting that dude.
Ah.
So I'm like, oh, let me see your phone. And she, her being drunk just hands it to me. So I read their text messages. That's how I found out that she, like, I'm sitting there just reading it. And that's how I found out that she was cheating on me. So I
and then where did you
phone.
Do that night?
I handed her phone, and then I kind of, like, played it cool for a little bit, and then she was like, oh, like, we're going to go party now. I'm like, nah, I'm just going to go home. She's like, why? I was like, because I don't, like, care to see you anymore, you know what I mean? Like, you could just go eat shit and die for all I care.
You said that to her?
Yeah, and she's like, what? And I was like, I read your phone, like, I know this and that. You lied to me about this guy, yada, yada. And then, so it was, like, an ordeal, and I still hung out with her that night, and then... like
that night,
know.
Even if I tell him yeah, he shouldn't die, and you stay there?
I'm the kind of person that, like... I fucking hate someone, like, I'll hate you, but I'm not going to let you ruin my brain and my parade, you
so
know
you're
what
still
going
to fuck her?
Yeah, and, okay. And I did that night, so. Like, I was like, whatever, fuck this dude, whatever, you know what I mean? I'm like, it's cool, we're done.
How's my dick taste, dude?
Yeah, so me and her, we go back, we party. Me and her have sex with, like, a couple friends.
You banged a couple friends, too?
Yeah, well, we, like, me and her
have sex.
What do you
mean, you
group,
sex?
Just group sex with, like, a couple that, like.
Really?
Couple, yeah, like, friends. And then we leave.
Wait, hold on. There's a lot of things
wait.
Here. Okay.
Wait. My life, there's no way I could explain to you a story in like one sitting.
Okay, no, yes. Okay, hold up. Okay, so that night, a couple, another couple?
Another married couple, yeah.
All right, and you two are having sex in the same room.
Yeah.
But you're sleeping with the other guy's wife too?
No. Like, we made rules, like, only I'm allowed to fuck my chick, he's allowed to fuck his chick, but the girls can do their thing together.
Was there a referee to enforce the rules? Like,
No, we're all adults. We're adults.
Okay, so the girls could, like, scissor each other and like, eat each other out.
Yeah, so basically I was fucking my chick while she was eating the other chick out, and then, you know what I mean, so on and so forth.
But is it weird having another...
kind of like the weird human centipede, but, like, almost...
But is it weird having another dick? Like, because I... When I was younger, and I was in my 20s, this girl was like, hey, I want to bang you and your friend. And I had already banged her, and I was trying to be a good friend. So I was like, okay, so she was, like, blowing me, and then he was, like, trying... And then once I saw his dick, I went limp, and then went in the corner in, like a fetal position and, like, cried. Like, it was, like, horrible. I mean, not exactly, but is it weird having another dick in the room? I mean, I would...
It's a little weird,
CB's got a dick in the room right now, but I'm saying, like, another...
It's a little weird, but honestly, like, sexually, like, I'm the kind of person that will try almost anything once, you know what I mean? Like, I don't really care. So I'm, like, pretty open person sexually.
So you've been with dudes before?
No.
Oh, okay. What happened to you?
Nothing gay,
okay.
But, like, you know what I mean? Like, I've had like, sex with, like, friends and, like, chicks, like, group sex, like, where there's, like, me and, like, three or four of the dudes and, like, same with chicks, you know what I mean? We're all just,
so
like, you've
had a 4-on-4 sex?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've had three on three. I've had a four.
Is it a competition? To see, like,
no.
No, what happens?
It just kind of happened. You know,
what happens
really
when you nut first and then everyone else?
That's what I'm
going.
Asking.
Well, I don't know, honestly. Like, that's never happened to me. I kind of have this weird thing where I, like, it's hard for me to bust a nut sometimes. Like, I don't know. It's weird. But I don't know.
Right,
I've never been in that situation where I'm just in the corner, like, watching, like, hey, guys, like.
No, that happened to me one time.
Waiting five minutes for him
to
go back up.
Me and my friend were banging chicks in two different beds. He was on another, and I finished in like 3 minutes, and he went on for like an hour, and I never felt like I left and went to do a comedy show. And then
I come back.
What else are you
going
to do? Sit there and watch?
Well,
but,
you come back, you still pumping?
But then,
camera guy.
But then she joined him, so he ended up having a threesome with the girl that I banged first. But I'm like, whatever.
You're done.
Yeah. All right. So,
what?
Yeah, I didn't care. I was doing a show at the New York Comedy Club. Anyway, so back to you. So it was 2-on-2 sex that night.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, so that happened. We went back to her house. Me and her fucked again. I spent the night. I woke up in the morning, took off. She's like, let's talk later. I'm like, okay, cool.
block.
Yeah, she goes to church. She gets home at like 1 or something like that. So I hit her up at like 1:30. I went to her house, so I know she was there, and I'm like, let's talk. As I'm sitting at her house waiting for her to come out to talk. Or no, she's like making excuses like, nah, my son's here, I don't want to come out and talk right now, yada yada. So I'm like, I'll come in there, like, let's just talk. We need to, like, I want to hash this out and, like, you know, let bygones be bygones and go our separate ways. We just need to talk about it. As I'm talking to her, he pulls up.
Of course.
Yeah, so he comes up, he gets his car, and he's seen me before. I've ran into it before. He knows who I am. He knows.
He knows you're a fighter.
Yeah, he knows that.
What a moron.
And he knows that me and her were dating.
Right.
But she told him that we've been broken up for months. Like, she was lying to me.
Now, is he a big guy? Or?
No, he's a little dude, but it's not like I'm going to kill the guy. Because to me, it's not his fault. It's her fault. I don't blame him. I blame her. Because, you know what I mean? It's her. Yeah. It's not him. It's her. Because me as a guy, I understand, like, she's a hot chick. Like, I know guys are going to be hitting on her. You know what I mean? Like, me as a guy, like, if I can't get over that, where if I'm going to have a hot girlfriend and I can't get over the fact that other guys are going to hit on her, like, I might as well just kill myself or not have a girlfriend. You know what I mean? Just jack off the rest of my life. But so I get out of my car, I confront him, I stop him, and I'm like, hey buddy, I can ask you some questions. And he kind of backed up, and I'm like, listen, like, you're safe, I'm not gonna hurt you, just, you know, right off the
bat.
You
turn off his cable?
No.
All right, go
on. I'm like, lights.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm not gonna hurt you, I just want to know, you know, I just got some questions, I want some answers. And I was like, I don't trust her to give me the truth, so I want to add to you, just tell me the truth, you know what I mean, no big deal. He's like, all right. So I was like, how long you been seeing her, what's going on? I asked him the questions, he told me the truth. I was like, cool. I was like, all right, go in there. So he goes in there, and then I'm texting her. I'm in my car, like, going to take off, and then I'm like, fuck, my shit's over there. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to come in and get my shit. She's like, no, I'll bring it to you later. And I'm like, fuck that. I went in there. I just walked in her house, was like, give my shit. She had it in the bag already for me. So I'm like, you're a fucking cunt, yada, yada. I'm out of here. I turned to him, and I'm like, just so you know, like, this chick you've been dating for months, me and her fucked last night. We're at a wedding. We've been seeing each other still. We fucked last night twice with friends. Yeah, I told him, like, the whole story of what happened.
What kind of church is this, by the way?
I'm telling you.
The church they go to actually got shut down before because the pastor or priest or whatever they fucking call that guy cheated on his wife with another one of the girls at the church.
Debauchery.
Yeah. There was adultery at the church, so the church shut down.
Church's chicken is actually more. Yeah.
I was going to say.
Yeah, all right, go on.
So I tell him all this, and then I was like, okay, I'm out, peace out. And then that was it, I left. And then she was hitting me up before I left, you know, trying to come back in, weasel her way back into my life. I shined her off. I was okay with her for a little bit, you know what I mean? I forgave her, but I was kind of like, okay, we could talk again. And then now I'm like, I don't even want to talk to her at all.
Yeah, anymore. No, it sounds, I mean, but the thing is, if you knew she was the kind of girl that cheated because she did on exes, like, that's the thing. It's like, you know,
once a cheater, always
well, see, yeah, kind of. That's true, but I like to give people the benefit of the doubt, and like I don't truly believe people change, but I do believe that people learn from their mistakes, and possibly she like grew out of that. You know what I mean?
No, I hear you.
But it
so,
is
are you
it
on
is.
Tinder now or Bumble?
No, I don't do that kind of stuff. If I meet a chick, I'm gonna meet a chick. But
now, why wouldn't a guy like you, all right, like that photo where you posted the other day on Instagram, where you're all ripped and like you just weighed in Australia, put that picture on Bumble or Tinder, the chicks in Simi Valley, those girls, I mean, you would be raking it in.
I know. Well, I mean, I get that already, and it's nice, you know what I mean? Like, the attention from the girls for fighting and whatnot, but I don't know. Like, it's kind of empty for me. Like, I want something more. Like,
yeah,
for
okay,
me,
fine.
I like spending time with people. I like sharing stuff. I like, you know what I mean? Like, for
you're
me, that's
you're looking
what it
for
is.
A real relationship.
Yeah, because I'm getting kind of old, you know what I mean? Like,
how old are you?
I'm 34. I'm be 35 this year.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, have fun, and you know, I still kind of want to have a kid. You know what I mean? I want at least like a son.
Yeah.
Or how many abortions it takes to get a son? And then
no, don't do that. Know? What? That's horrible. No, that's horrible. That's actually like
it
you know, it's crazy.
In, huh?
Well, but you know
no,
what?
I didn't get it. At first,
well, I was,
so
you know what's
like,
funny?
What
I was I was watching. I like Tucker Carlson. I don't agree with his politics, but he's entertaining as hell. And he was saying how like I don't know they were gonna fund whatever. He was complaining about funded abortions, but yada yada yada, because they're saying that women actually are the most when they find out that it's a girl, people get have more abortions than if it's a guy. It's actually like a thing, according to Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, no one wants to deal with girls. Girls know how girls are, and that's why they hate each other.
Man, but that's just ridiculous. You wouldn't do that, right? If you're gonna have a kid, you would have an abortion if it was a girl.
No, I would have it.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Be the hardest hitting 4-year-old you'll ever meet.
God. Fuck Ashley. Well, she'd be so mean. She'd be a savage.
Yeah.
She'd walk around with no shoes, like Bam Bam and shit.
CB, so some fights got announced. That's your job. Talk to me. What are the fights?
I mean, dude, there's nothing bigger than GSP and Bisping, man.
Yeah, but that whole card, right?
You got GSP, Bisping, you got Dillashaw.
I'm honestly not that excited about that fight.
Why?
GSP, Bisping?
Yeah.
It's...
I'm kind of like whatever about
the
it.
The hype train.
Honestly.
People are like, oh, GSP's back. I'm like, it's been like 4 or 5 years. It's not... This isn't what we wanted. This is not the GSP approach.
It's another weight class.
But the thing is, if he wins, it's for the title. So that if he wins, he's now the 185-pound champion.
Yeah,
which is another ridiculous
insane because
situation.
You know what?
And like, then what, they're going to give him a 170 shot? Because he was a 170 champ.
But how would he do against... How would Bisping realistically do against Rockhold, Romero,
Bisping
Weidman?
I think Bisping loses to Romero. I think he loses... I think he would have lost
to
Mousasi. I think Jacare beats him. Rockhold
Whitaker.
Beat him in a rematch. I think Whitaker beats him.
So you think Bisping beats him?
Bisping beats GSP?
Yeah. No, I'm saying who be like, you think all those guys beat Bisping or beats GSP?
No, I think all those guys beat Bisping.
Okay, but forget about that. All right,
does GSP beat all of them?
Yeah, how do those? I mean, that's
the problem. How the fuck does he fare at 185 after this? You've got a line of killers at 185, and everybody's talking about, you know, it was Jacare, and then it was a Rockhold rematch. Ended up being Dan Henderson, and then ended up being, you know, that shit. There's a line of guys that have earned their way at 185, and this dude, I feel like coming back because I am out of my dark place.
Well,
okay, 185 title shot.
I'm happy for
him.
Yeah,
he wasn't even a middleweight either. He was
never.
A welterweight.
Even when he wanted to fight Anderson, he said, oh, he is too big for me. I do not want to fight him.
That's why I don't get, like, what's...
I think Bisping wins. I'm happy that Bisping gets paid because
a guy,
he deserves...
Bisping, I like
Bisping. Because he's been fighting guys that have been cheating their whole careers. So, you know what? Good for him. At the same time, it's like they made an interim belt in Whitaker, and now they need an interim belt. Because
they really love the interim shit now, huh?
And now he got hurt, so now there's an interim belt for that.
No, and I think one of the issues of why GSP got Bisping is because when Dana watched the Woodley Maya fight, like fourth or fifth round, he's like, I'm not booking Tyron and GSP. That fight's going to suck.
Yeah.
So GSP, you're fighting Bisping. Tyron, we don't know what's next for him.
All right, but also on that card now is Cody Bollinger.
Cody Garbrandt and TJ Dillashaw.
Oh, yeah.
Cody Garbrandt, TJ Dillashaw.
Which card is that?
216, that's the...
MSG card.
No, 217.
Where is
MSG
it?
MSG card. MSG. Madison Square Garden. November.
Oh, yeah, that's so when I was trying to get on that one, too. I was going to try to call out Al, but I don't even know if Al has a contract anymore with the UFC. Does he still fight?
What? Who?
Al and Quinton.
He still fights, yeah.
I wanted to fight him in that New York card and kick his ass in his backyard.
Really? Why, you don't like him?
No, I do, but he beat me in the Ultimate Fighter. I want revenge.
We have...
I think it would be a good fight, too. I think the fans would love that fight if I fought Al.
We have a major 170 fight got added to that yesterday. Masvidal and Wonder Boy.
Ooh.
That's like a wet dream for a lot of fight fans. That's a crazy...
Who's that gonna be, man?
I put it out on Twitter yesterday. I was getting kind of mixed responses. I'm not saying I fucking released. I broke.
When he got fucking cut from, what was the Anaheim?
I'm not saying I broke it. I'm saying I tweeted it, and people tweeted me back. One person was telling me Wonderboy's great, but they think Masvidal is going to be too much for him because Wonderboy needs range, and Masvidal will get in your face.
You know, it's one of those fights that I think that Masvidal is tougher than Wonderboy. It's a 3-round fight.
It's a 3.
In a 3-round fight, I give it to Wonderboy. In a 5-round fight, I give it to Masvidal.
It depends on how Masvidal comes out, though, because he's been cleaning guys up.
Well, he has not been cleaning guys up.
He finished Cerrone. And he technically finished.
Yeah, but he's not better on the feet than Wonderboy.
No, but again, Wonderboy needs range, and Masvidal's going to get inside and in his face. He's not afraid.
Yeah, but Masvidal's. I think his weakness, from what I've seen in a couple of his fights, is kicks. People that have good kicking range.
Yeah.
He just got in on fucking
Cerrone. Who am I rooting for?
Out.
I'm rooting for Masvidal, and I hung out with Masvidal. He's a cool-ass fucking dude.
But Cerrone's kind of a one-dimensional stand-up guy, though, like, where he'll just sit there and let you come in on him, where Wonderboy's not going to do that. He's going to move and he's
And also Cerrone kind of gets in his own head.
Yeah.
Like, Cerrone gets to the big show, and that's good. Corey Anderson and Pat Cummins. I think that's a good wrestler's matchup. Good
Corey's the one that got knocked out by Manoa, right?
Corey, yeah.
Oh, I got Pat Cummins.
Is Pat Cummins the guy that looks just creepier and creepier every time I see him?
Yeah, his mustache and the tooth.
He's got the
more and more glorious.
Head. He was the barista before he fought DC.
Yeah. Okay, that guy.
And then, did you see this middleweight fight for Hendricks?
Yeah.
He's fighting Paulo Bochechina.
That guy's a monster.
That guy is he's a fucking killer.
He's just like 9-0 from Brazil, like 9 knockouts.
No, he's 10-0, 9 knockouts, 1 submission.
Yeah.
He just knocked out your boy Bambos.
Bang Buster.
Yeah, that's a fucking...
Yeah, I don't know what Hendrix is thinking with that. I mean, there's no upside other than maybe he's thinking that he hasn't dealt with a wrestler like Hendrix, but Hendrix doesn't even use wrestling anymore.
And his left hand sucks now, too.
Yeah.
What about... Did you see Lyoto's back?
Lyoto Machida is fighting...
He's fighting Brunson in Brazil. Brunson.
I like Brunson.
I like Brunson.
Yeah, I do, too. I think Brunson's going to destroy him.
If he's smart. Brunson... I mean, the last fight Brunson fought was really good, but for a while he was getting into,
he fought
like,
the same car as me, didn't he? Yeah, he did.
He was becoming a world star fighter where he would just like run into you and fucking throw crazy punches. But I think when he got stopped by Whitaker, he realized, okay,
open his eyes.
This is not
well, closed him first.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
This is not the way to fight.
You know, honestly, Whitaker kind of surprised me. Like
Whitaker gets like, shocker. Right?
I knew he was a good fighter, but like he's. His skill's been progressing a lot, and he's been taking out guys that I thought were going to give him a lot more trouble, and he's been kind of running through them.
He moved up 15, and it fucking helped him.
Yeah, it did.
And then who else?
I think Brunson's too much for Machida. I think he can rush him. And then
Rose is on that card too, right? Rose, Namajunas.
No, she would possibly be on the 217 card against Joanna. They haven't
finalized. They're saying it's on the MSG card.
I know. I'm the Lyoto fight that we just talked about, though, is in Sao Paulo, Brazil.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, they're talking about Joanna and Rose for the title.
I like Joanna. I like Rose as a person.
I love Joanna. Rose, but, yeah, I just...
Now, do you think she looked good naked in that shoot? People were saying it was like a boy. I think she looked cute. I definitely would not...
I think she looked cute. Girl. I think they're really going with this body issue. They're getting a lot of the fighters. Yeah. And I think they're kind of just picking randoms at this point. Like, Misha, I understand. Ronda, I understand. Connor, it's a little weird. Like, wasn't Derek Lewis on there? Like,
really?
Or somebody that looked like
him?
Tell
the truth. Did you get hard when you saw Connor?
No.
A little bit?
Well, because it's like, it's Sports Illustrated, isn't it?
Now, it's either, it's ESPN.
Or ESPN.
And then there's
Sports Illustrated. Now they're saying Dos Santos got a potential doping violation. Pulled from UFC 215.
Shocker.
Yes. Junior?
Yeah.
Against Ngannou?
Yeah.
Ngannou might get the title shot there.
You know what?
Just give it to him.
I don't blame him. If I was fighting Ngannou, I'd be fucking... I think that,
juicing up.
Are you kidding?
Dude, I'd get the phone
call. Where was that
call.
Fight? Was that the same one? On the same card?
That was in
No, that was 215. It's coming up, the next pay-per-view.
Yeah. I mean,
I'd get the call. They'd be like, you're fighting Ngannou. I'd be like, no, I'm not.
Wow.
No.
So, that sucks, though. I never looked at him as a cheater.
Neither did
I. But it could be marijuana. It doesn't necessarily mean that, but...
No, if it's marijuana, he can't fail the week of the fight only.
Oh, really?
It's like, yeah, if it's controlled substances like that. Steroids, you can't fail at all. But I think, like, cocaine and weed and shit like that, you just can't fail the week of the fight, from what I was told by
Adam, as one of his best friends, I got to ask you a question, man.
Who's best friends?
Your boy Motown Phenom getting a title shot.
I think that's a little ridiculous.
Why?
It's crazy. They announced it, and I'm like, there's no way.
But now I heard that might not be true, because they're trying to still make Khabib Ferguson. But go on.
I'm seeing 216.
I just don't feel like he's beaten, like...
Beat Chiesa?
I mean, he beat Chiesa. He beat Chiesa.
You can't blame that on him.
Dude, the trash talk's going to be amazing.
I can't, but I don't feel like that win warrants a fucking title shot.
He also beat that maniac from Brazil. What's that guy he beat that was good? Torado or something? The guy Kevin Lee beat before him that was like really good. Before the Chiesa fight, he beat that guy from Brazil who just looked like a behemoth.
Trinaldo?
Yeah, Trinaldo.
Oh.
Nothing for you. Yeah. So you don't think Kevin Lee deserves it?
Nah, I mean, he's a good fighter, definitely, but I don't feel like after beating Chiesa, he deserves a title
shot. Well, it's interesting because they wrestled for the same team in college, but they missed each other. But they had a...
Who did, Chiesa and Lee?
No, Lee
or
and...
Ferguson. Oh, for real?
Yeah, and they were like, but they missed each other, like, they weren't the same years, but he came back and helped with the team. Like, they were friends,
yeah.
And then they actually... When Lee first came on the podcast, I was like, he was the only guy he said he didn't want to fight was because they had this mutual respect on wrestling. But now I guess that went out the window, and now they hate each other.
The trash talk is going to be awesome.
Listen, my feeling on that fight is this. People are saying Ferguson, right? Kevin Lee, the best thing that ever happened to him was getting knocked out by that Brazilian guy.
Somebody tweeted that when they announced the fight. Somebody tweeted it to Kevin, like, you're getting a title shot, and they showed him getting knocked out.
It was the best.
That was like six, seven fights ago.
It made him realize that he can get knocked out. He doesn't fight stupid anymore. Yeah, no. Torado hit him a couple times, but he doesn't fight dumb. I still think Tony Ferguson does not think he can get knocked out. Tony Ferguson, in his last fight, got hit a lot by that
Banana.
Lando Cal Ripken, whatever the fuck that guy
was. Yeah, he got rocked bad in that fight. Was that the fight that he came around and subbed at the end?
Yeah. And yeah. I still think he has that belief that no matter what happens, I'm going to not get knocked out. And I think that's troublesome in a fight like this because I think that Lee can beat him.
I think Kevin Lee can shock the world.
Who do you think wins that fight?
Between him and
Lee and Ferguson.
It's a tough fight to call. I honestly think Ferguson. I think Ferguson, because when Ferguson's tired, he still is wild and he still throws shit, you know what I mean? He's still a pretty unpredictable guy. Like, whether he's fresh or tired, he still fights the same.
And he's great everywhere.
Yeah, he's great everywhere. Where you could see Kevin Lee, he'll slow down and he'll get lethargic towards the end.
And can Kevin go five rounds?
Yeah, can he go five rounds?
I was saying, Ben Askren is defending his title shot against...
this weekend, right?
No, it's against Zabatsian Kadestam. Look, people complain he doesn't fight the best guys in the world. They have not seen Zabatsian Kadestan. This guy is a fucking monster. No, I don't know who the fuck that guy is, but...
I was looking at other UFC announced matchups. Not really worried about Askren's going to fuck up
good,
this
good,
weekend.
Good for Askren. All right, so Nick Rohick, potential anti-doping violation. You know who that is? Nick Rohick. I don't know who he is, but he's another guy that got doping. Angela Hill versus Nina Ansaroff. It's a good fight. Yeah. Ansaroff is tough. According to the guys at ATT, she's the best 15-pounder there in practice, and it's including Joanna.
They got another 15-fight they announced for the Japan card. What's that? Fucking barn burner. You got Claudia Gadelha and Jessica Andrade.
Oh, Gadelha wins that fight.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think it's a fucking war, man. I got Andrade, though.
I think Andrade got exposed by Joanna as a one-dimensional fighter. As long as she follows that game plan, she's going to win.
Yeah, I agree.
Jesse Taylor, my man JT Money.
JT Money.
He's fighting Bilal Muhammad, your best friend.
I think, bias aside, I think Jesse's too much for him. I think the wrestling, and he'll just smother him.
He's wrestling, but Bilal hits hard.
He hits hard, but Jesse knows immediate takedown. He ain't going to fuck around.
Can't hit hard on your back, from your back.
Yeah.
And now Ryan Bader's taking on Linton Vassell at Penn State. Bellator's at Penn State now, I guess.
Ed Ruth and Phil Davis are on the card, too, because they're Penn State alum.
Really? Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. That's
cool.
I like that.
I think
Phil Davis is all about them, too. He's, like, always wearing their shit.
Oh, fuck,
I think
yeah.
you have a new light heavyweight champion in Bellator. I think Linton Vassell gets the belt this time.
Over Bader?
Think so?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Really?
I think Linton has the ability. Bellator's it won't be like a double leg, guys, but dude. I think Linton can submit Ryan Bader, not a problem.
I don't know. Who's ever submitted Ryan Bader?
Tito Ortiz.
What?
Tito Ortiz did submit him. And so did John Jones.
So did John Jones.
But
same
Tito
move.
Ortiz was like,
oh my God, Tito Ortiz
but
submitted
that was a long time
UFC
ago, man.
UFC 1. Fuck. What
UFC
was
1.
It? Now like, we got UFC like 132 or something.
Now we got to talk to you about CB because.
I remember that shit.
It seemed like your life was getting better until today. You showed me you have a Conor McGregor app that says all the things that he says
get
all day long.
Get the fuck out of here.
This has got to stop. This is just... please tell me this app...
Fuck you.
What is this?
Turn it up, damn it.
Turn it up.
Dana! 60 G's, baby! I don't just knock them out. I picked around.
It's called Mac Talk.
Yes.
He recorded... 27 lines of his, but who the fuck is that guy isn't on there?
Oh.
And you go, you download one. It, it's like a dollar or something, $2. And any button you click, it's his recorded, and it's like...
that fucking guy
ready?
Kills me, dude.
I am boxing.
Now, how often do you listen to these things?
I just downloaded it yesterday at work.
Okay. Okay, at quote-unquote work, which we're not really sure that you have a job yet.
Yeah,
okay,
what
okay.
I own a tattoo shop.
Oh, you own a tattoo shop. Can you bring in a tax statement the next time there's a podcast? Because until then, I'm not sure I believe you that you own a tattoo shop.
What's a tax statement?
What's a tax statement? Exactly. What's a tax statement? Exactly.
Cash business.
Yeah, tattoos or cash business.
All right, bring in, I want proof of purchase.
I have my own fucking business cards.
Wow, that's not proof of... I can go out and make business cards.
Go
saying, I'm 4427
Lancashire. Go there right now.
I know you'll be there. But
no, I'm not
wanna,
talking about being there. Go ask him about me.
I want... that you're the owner. So
yes.
Can we call him on the podcast to see who owns this place? And they will say Connor Brandon Goldberg.
If you really want to fucking, if you really want to bother Abel right now,
use the full name.
If you really want to bother Abel right now,
okay. I want proof of purchase. Until then, I don't know.
By the way, we're having the grand reopening party in the next few weeks. You can come to that as well. Until
I don't want to have a reopening party
because I bought the shop from the prior owner. No, we renovated the whole shop. We redid everything, so we just want to kind of like
I want proof of purchase on this. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So
yeah, and if I don't bring it, you know what?
Okay.
Love that app already, dude.
By the way, guys, I own the White House. Just so you know, I own the White House. CB,
can I spend the night?
Yes, of course.
I'm gonna shit on your lawn.
All right, this is what he does all day.
It's
this
even
is,
a laughing one.
This is what he does all day. And now your wife or your girlfriend, CB, by the way, is in love with you because she puts this on
I'm
Instagram
aware.
That you're the man of her dreams.
I said it last year. We're not here to take part.
Now, how did you? Does she know that what you don't do for a living, which is everything?
Yeah. She doesn't ask questions. She doesn't want to know.
That's funny. What I don't do for a living. That's good. I'm going to use that one. What do you do for a living? Let me tell you what I don't do.
Yeah, there's a list.
I'm not an exterminator. I'm not Vince Pichel's sparring partner.
The fuck are you trying to say?
I'm not Vince Pichel's sparring partner because I like my brain.
I'm not a comedian. I'm not currently employed.
I'm not a comedian.
All right. Listen, people. I think that's our podcast. Actually, we're going to have Conor McGregor call in right now.
You didn't hear him just now?
You guys were not here but this is pre-recorded because Connor's very busy, so Vince and CB will not be on this conversation, but we're going to call to Connor right now. All right, that was Conor McGregor, back with Vince and CB. So what do you got coming up, Vince? Anything where people can find you at, where people find you? What do you have coming up?
What do you mean as far as like a fight?
A fight, on my anything medias. You want to promote? Anything?
No, not really. I'm just fucking boring today. Just working, trying to get a fight. Maybe I'll get a fight. Hopefully I'll get a fight in November-ish. Hopefully I'll get a fight before the end of the year. I want to fight by the end of the year.
Now, do you want people to actually at Sean Shelby or tag and be like, hey, give Vince a fight? Or no? Would that be annoying?
It's probably annoying to him. I don't really care that way. I just talk to him myself.
Right, okay.
But, I mean, he knows I want to fight. He's working something for me, but I'm being kind of difficult because of my schedule, and I'm not going to fight someone who doesn't have a name. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I'm not here to... I don't want to be a key holder, one of those gate guys. You know what I mean? Where I don't really go anywhere, and they just keep me fighting the guys who come in. You know what I mean? I want to fight people who are the best guys. I want everyone to know that I'm one of those guys.
Vince Pichel versus Abel Trujillo.
Yeah, it's a good
fight. I'll take that fight.
That's a good fight.
Can I ask you guys one question about a fight you didn't ask?
Sure.
Matt Brown and Diego Sanchez?
Oh,
is this a fucking funeral for Diego? He's going up to 170, and he's fighting Matt Brown. Lozon knocked him out. What do we think is going to happen
when
here?
I saw the poster, I thought Matt Brown was Diego Sanchez because he's got the mohawk.
He's got, Diego doesn't know where his mohawk is. He's
not
sure
where
Diego
know.
Is. Is this a funeral for him?
I mean, fuck. Why? Yeah, you're right. Why?
Why go up two weight classes and fight one of the...
Yeah, didn't he make 45?
Maybe he doesn't want to cut 45. Weight. Maybe he doesn't want to cut weight.
But he's fighting a fucking murderer. Matt Brown.
Matt Brown has not looked that good in his last couple fights.
But it's still a scary landscape for what could happen to Diego Sanchez. There's a better chance of him getting knocked out than him finishing Matt Brown.
Yeah.
And that worries me because they're both a little...
I wouldn't
say chinny, but they've both been taking shots for 10, 15
years. Well, and cardio-wise, they're both going to be going, like, they both got gas tanks.
And it's in Virginia.
Strange.
It's like, that one, when I saw it, and everybody's like, I'm scared for Diego. Yeah, me too, man. Who wants to see the original?
But maybe Diego might get punched so hard he becomes smart again.
And he
should change his nickname to like
the nightmares. What if he all of a sudden like gets punched and he starts like doing calculus or something?
Diego
like,
the concussion.
Oh, maybe
Sanchez.
His autism just kicks in and he's magically smart.
he solves like world hunger or some shit.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like maybe
just walking around the world going yes.
Have you seen Matt Hughes? Make sure Matt Hughes out of the wheelchair.
I saw him in the wheelchair.
He's
just,
he looks really skinny and atrophied.
He's been in the fucking hospital in a coma.
I'm just happy that they got someone to fight CM Punk now.
Damn.
I think Hughes wins that fight. Now, I think so, too. In a wheelchair. All right, so...
I got my money on
Hughes.
The guy
that wheeled Hughes out beats him.
Hughes just run his ass over like a fucking power wheel.
The fucking nurse is like, yeah, I'll take it. 20 grand, let's go.
All right, so... all right, CB, what do you got coming up?
Tomorrow... Well, this is coming out for a while.
In the bushes.
Nothing much, man. Just working at the tattoo shop.
That he owns.
Graffiti Palace Tattoo, 4427 Lancashire Boulevard. We're on Instagram, Graffiti Palace Tattoo, Facebook, Twitter. And if you come in and mention MMA Roasted, you get a 10% discount on your tattoo.
Right. I like that. There you go. I'm going to be in China next week. I'll be at the Dime Bar Monday and Tuesday of next week. And then I'm in Washington at the Cliffhanger Sports Bar and Restaurant. I know a bunch of guys over at American Bong Team are going to be there. hopefully. Juliana Pena's old trainer. What's his name?
Rick.
Yeah, Rick Little. Rich Little will be there, the impressionist. Also, I'll be at the Angel of the Winds Casino.
I was actually out there hanging out with those dudes. I love those guys.
They're good dudes.
Mike, yes, and Sam. I was at Sam's wedding. I love Sam and his wife. She's so
Yeah, you train with them, right?
They're so cool, yeah.
How was that camp, by the way?
It's a pretty good camp. They're actually trying to get me to move up there to train with him.
Does Sam, like, I heard he just, like, throws fucking in sparring. He tries to knock you out.
Yeah, he throws hard. Like, okay, when we're on the Ultimate Fighter, like, me and him would be sparring, and he's naturally a 45. He could probably make 35, like, if he really, like, killed himself. But he was the one dude that he would hit me, and I would have my hands up, like 16-ounce gloves blocking. He would hit me, and it would fucking, like, wow. I would take a step. Like, he throws fucking hard every time.
His fight IQ isn't always the greatest.
No, but when you have fucking bricks for hands, you don't really need to be.
He signed a belt or yesterday.
Did he really?
Yeah,
Sam?
He signed a belt or 145.
I like him. What was that?
A multi-fight contract.
Oh, good for him, man. He's an exciting fighter. And
he is. I like watching him.
Him at 45?
He could knock out anybody, that guy. And I think Little is actually a very underrated coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think so, too, because he's got three people in the, you know what I mean, who are top-rated guys in the UFC.
We've got Pena.
Pena, Chiesa, and Cecilia, you know what I mean? On top of the other, like, I want to say, like, 10 to 20 guys that are there that are, you know what I mean, training others.
Yeah, someone else that trained with them that lost on the looking for a fight. But the guy is really good. He fights, like, a little bit, chin up a little bit, but he was in a war.
They have a few guys like that. They have a couple guys that were on Ultimate Fighter, too, that didn't make it.
Yeah, I forgot the guy's name. I actually hit him up and told him after his...
What weight class?
Not looking for a fight. In
the Contender Series?
The Contender Series. He fought... He was one of those fights that, like, you felt bad for him, because if he fought anybody else, he would have been in the... Austin Arnett. That dude he's good.
Yeah, he is. He is good.
Yeah, anybody else, he actually would have actually...
Been on there.
Been in the UFC.
Luck of the draw, man.
Yeah. I'm in Cashmere, Washington at Club Crow on Saturday night, the 9th. Then I'm in Dubuque, Iowa, Diamond Joe Casino, Penguins Comedy Club, September 15th and 16th.
Is that all out in Washington?
Yeah. No, that's in Iowa.
Oh.
Iowa at Penguins. And the Blue Room in Springfield, Missouri, September 29th and 30th. And then Lake Havasu, October 4th, Pennington's Pub and Laughlin in October. I'm only going Laughlin? To the best places. Yeah. Then I'm going to the wine cellar. Going to the Brentwood, California.
Oh, fancy.
Like Northern California. The other Brentwood.
Never mind.
November 21st.
Sorry, Brentwood, the nice one.
Yeah, and then November 10th and 11th. I'm in Maui. Three's Bar and Grill in Maui.
Nice.
Yeah. So
I've never been to Hawaii. I want to go.
Hawaii's oh, you would love cool. it. They would love you.
Hawaii's awesome, man.
Fucking half ape. They would love you, man.
Oh, they love me in New Zealand, too. I love New Zealand out there.
Yeah.
It's so amazing out there. I was actually trying to find me a hot Maori girl. Get married.
I was going
to
say, how many did love,
yeah,
love
you
out there?
Did you bang any chicks in New Zealand?
Yeah.
What was that? Is that like an airplane crash?
I was going to say. That's the bomber coming in.
What? How many?
Nah, I struck
Seven.
Out.
You struck out?
Yeah, because the ones that I wanted to bang, I didn't get. And the ones that... Wanted to, I didn't want.
What about Rowdy Beck? You didn't bang Rowdy Beck?
No, I didn't even see her. She was out there?
Oh.
No, she's in Australia.
Australia, yeah.
She's Aussie. They don't like
a little bit of a difference.
Would you bang Rowdy Beck?
I probably would, yeah.
She's crazy.
She is.
She's your kind of chick.
That's my kind of chick, yeah.
Yeah.
She'd probably bring in another girl, though, which would be fun.
Yeah,
like, she'd be the type that would be like, yeah, we can go, but my friend's coming too. And
yeah, I forgot
unless you're
like
Adam,
that.
And then it's 25 like Mexicans in a hotel room.
that's what happened. That's really what happened. Her and Magana invited me to their hotel room one night, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be a great night. And then this fucking team... Ultimate Fighter Tijuana is there.
Just
talking shit
about
me in Spanish the entire time. Fuck it. It was like horrible. It was fun, but I was like, geez. They're like, bring weed and alcohol. And I'm like, this is going to be the best night of my life.
We're getting fucked up. We're getting banged.
Yeah, those guys smoked all my weed and drank all my alcohol. It was like, I was on like, you've been punked in Mexico City.
They sent you for ICE and locked the door.
I actually called ICE the fucking immigration people and got them all out of there. No.
Next time you're gonna show up with one of those fucking like travel fanny packs so they can't rob you and shit.
Dude, it was brutal.
One that's strapped to your chest like a Euro
trip. Under a shirt, yeah. So you just reach
They kept looking at me and calling me like Punto and Maricon and laughing. It was horrible. Anyway, listen, Vince, it was an honor to have you on. TB, good to have you back, man. Take care, guys, and enjoy your life. Conor McGregor, it is so nice to have you on the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's nice to be back. I know it's been a while. I've had so much to do. I just couldn't make room for your pissant, piece of shite little podcast.
Right. No, I appreciate it, man. I know you don't like doing podcasts. You like getting paid for them. And just to have you on the show, I really appreciate it, man.
Oh, no problem. I just take a moment. To be honest, I don't even have to train that hard for the Mayweather. He's such a tiny little boy. I'm just going to beat him with a sack of potatoes.
Now, actually, I've been hearing that Mayweather has not been taking you very seriously and hasn't been training as hard as he usually does for this fight.
Well, you know, train as hard as he likes. He's not going to go any taller or get any faster or be able to lay his hands on me. This fight is going to be about one thing and one thing only, and that's the after party.
The after party. You're worried about the after party. Now, okay, let's get back to a couple things. First of all, Paulie Malignaggi, we had him on the podcast a couple days ago. He was very upset about training with you. He said that that you were releasing pictures of you knocking him down, but he was a push, and he actually beat you in sparring, but that those videos didn't come out. What happened with you and Paulie Malignaggi?
First of all, I don't even know who you're talking about, okay? People come in, they're just faces, I punch them in, they fall to the ground, and I move on. To me, he was just person number 8.
So you don't even know who he was?
I don't care who he was. I don't know his name. All I know is he cashed the fucking check.
Okay, well, he was very upset. He said he actually wants to fight you after Mayweather. If you look good against Mayweather.
It sounds like he already had his chance, and he damn well lost it. So I don't care for him either. He can go cry in his lucky charms.
Right. Now, what happened with you? Now, what's your plan against Mayweather? Obviously, he's more skilled than you. He's had more fights than you. He's a better boxer than you. He's never lost. How are you going to deal with his speed?
First thing, I'm going to have a lovely dinner. They're at the casino before the fight.
Okay.
I believe I will have at least a bottle of red wine, maybe two, just to relax. Then, perhaps, I'll put on my clothes and I'll go fight this wee little man. And then the game plan is simple. I'm going to punch him in the face and then cash the check.
Right. Okay. So you're thinking it's one round, one punch?
Oh, that's all it's going to take. Not even a round. The only reason it lasts a round is if I didn't show up until the third.
That's the only way. So one punch. I mean,
that's the only way it lasts past two punches. Me punching him, then me punching him again.
Now, a lot of people were upset that you said dance for me, boy. They thought it was racist. Are you racist? Was it a racist statement?
Listen to me. I'm no racist. If I were a racist, I'd be president of the United States of America. Okay? That's not my job. I called him a boy because he's built like a tiny little boy. All right? When I look at him, that's all that I see. A small little boy. There are plenty of racist things I could say, and I say those behind closed doors where they belong.
So you're racist behind closed doors?
Everyone's a racist behind closed doors. Why don't you get with the program? Open your eyes.
All right. Okay. All right. Now you're going to get $60 million or something for this fight. What are you going to do with the money?
I don't know. I can't even feel it. That's how you know I'm fighting for pure pleasure of knocking out this tiny little man. Because I can't feel the difference. I got all the cars that I want, all the pussy that I want, all the gold doubloons, all the potatoes. I'm never running out of potatoes. I don't feel a thing.
And a lot of people are very offended by your potato comments. They think because of the whole potato famine in Ireland, maybe you might be more sensitive to your own people.
Listen, it's like the saying goes: one potato, two potato, three potato, four. Go fuck yourself and your mother. She's a dirty whore.
Is that the saying?
That's a classic Irish saying.
Okay, now I don't know. Now the odds are that you're not going to beat Mayweather. The odds are that Mayweather is, he's just too good. He's never lost. He's never been hurt, really. What's your plan? Do you have anything that you're going to surprise him with?
Yes, I'm going to surprise him by beating him a bit, his face and shoulders. That's how I'm going to surprise him. This fight will expose boxing for the joke that it is. It's a lousy sham. Mixed martial arts will prove that it includes all the disciplines, from the kicking to the punching, and that's what you'll find out. Boxing's a joke.
Boxing's a joke. Now, Paulie Malignaggi left your camp. Andre Berto canceled on you. Who are you bringing in to help prepare you for Mayweather?
I'm bringing in one of the Wayans brothers because at least they realize that this is just a lousy comedy waiting to happen.
Which Wayans brother?
Marlon, of course, is the only one with any athletic ability of the whole bunch.
So you're bringing in Marlon Wayans to spar with?
That's right. I'm sparring with Marlon. He's more of a challenge. At least he's got some length in his arms.
Okay, so how are those sparring sessions going with you and Marlon Wayans?
I got to tell you, he runs his mouth like a real son of a bitch, but I love him dearly. I only knocked him out a couple of times.
You knocked out Marlon Wayans a couple times, so that's who you're bringing in to prepare.
I don't know. He might have been one of the other Wayans. They all look the same to me.
Well, that's where people think that you're becoming kind of racist because you're saying they all look the same. I mean, they don't look anything like each other.
I'm not saying they all look the same because they're black. I'm saying they all look the same because they're Wayans.
Oh, okay. All right. That's okay. All right. Well, listen. All right. So you're bringing in Marlon Wayans to spar with. You're getting ready. Now, you're focused on the after party. Where is the after party?
To be honest, I plan to sneak into Mayweather Strip Club Girls Collection, and I'm going to collect all the girls and fucking leave with them.
Okay. You're gonna kidnap his girls?
That's right. And he won't be able to stop me.
Wow. All right.
He won't even be there. He'll be at the hospital recovering from his wounds.
Man, I mean, this is some plan you got. First,
I want you to know something, Mr. Adam Hunter of the MMA Roasted Podcast. There's only two people I feel sorry for in the whole world. Number one, Floyd Mayweather.
Yep.
And number two, that poor lovely lass that for some reason agreed to marry you. I don't understand it. I got to tell you, I saw the pictures. She's quite lovely. She could have had me.
Wait, my wife?
That's right. The poor lass ruined herself, threw it away on you.
But listen, Connor, you already have a wife and you have a kid. What do you need? What do you need my wife for?
Well, you can never have enough mashed potatoes.
Have you ever had sex with a black woman?
Of course I have. In the light, when the lights are off, they're all black.
And the light, everybody's black. Right, right, right. Got it.
Exactly. That's what I'm telling you.
That's
how can I be a racist when I don't even see you with the lights off?
Oh, yeah, that's a good, very good point. It's a good point. Now, Khabib said he wants to fight you in Russia after this fight. Are you going to come back to MMA and fight Khabib?
I, of course, plan to come back to MMA, but I wouldn't waste my time with some bear wrestling little bugger like Khabib.
Wow. Those are strong words. Okay, I'm sure the Russians are going to be very upset about that.
Don't worry about that. Putin's got my direct number. We party twice a year.
You and Putin party?
Oh, yeah. We're always Putin on the hits.
Wow. All right. Now, what about Tony? People are saying Tony Ferguson, Khabib. Now they're saying Tony Ferguson might fight Kevin Lee for an interim title. Who do you think wins that fight?
It doesn't matter. It's interim, like you said. You know what? They're just a substitute teacher getting paper wads spit at them until I return to my rightful place at the head of the class.
Now, how do you think you do against Tony Ferguson or Kevin Lee?
Tony Ferguson is actually a wily fighter. I like Tony Ferguson. But you know what really does? He's got that giant forehead. It's so easy to hit. It's like punching at a drive-in movie theater screen. I don't think he'll be a challenge.
What about Kevin Lee?
Well, Kevin Lee, I'll just sprinkle some...
What?
I'll sprinkle some chicken wings about the thing. He'll get confused and I'll take my chances.
All right. See, that's where people... Chicken wings, just because he's black does not mean he likes chicken wings, Connor.
Well, I think you'll have to check with him on that. I never bet it's a good bet. Who doesn't like chicken wings? See, that's not racist. I'm just saying he looks hungry.
He doesn't necessarily look hungry, but why would you pick another food? Why chicken wings? I mean, he could like spaghetti.
I didn't choose watermelon. I choose chicken wings because they're delicious.
Watermelon or chicken wings? See, that's where people are getting upset with you, Connor. They think that these are racist things that you're saying, and
they're not. These are simple, delicious foods. Everyone loves watermelon. Everybody loves fried chicken. Everybody loves collard greens. How does that make me racist?
Well, yeah, but I understand what you're saying, but at the same time, you could have picked other foods that don't necessarily, you know, people assume because you're black that you would like chicken wings or Kardashians or whatever. All right, but I hear you. Okay, so after we... Now, are you going to... If you beat Mayweather, okay, are you going to fight Paulie Malignaggi in boxing, or are you going to go back to MMA?
I am definitely returning to MMA. My whole goal is just to expose boxing as the fraud that it is and has been for well over 30 years.
Okay.
And right back to MMA, where I can wear my tiny shorts.
So that's what you like, the tiny shorts?
Of course, those large shorts. You can't see my giant Irish magic wand. I'm throwing Harry Potter spells over here.
Wow. Now, what do you think about guys that are like, I mean, there are these Conor McGregor fans that like, they get 6 tattoos. They're diehard people. They basically live for you. Are you supportive of that? Or do you think that they should sort of kind of like ease up a little bit on like putting you up on this big pedestal?
There are certain persons who have gotten my name tattooed or my face tattooed multiple times across their body. And those people are tragic souls, probably homeless, probably with nothing to do with their lives. And for that, I say, thank you for wasting it on Conor McGregor and the one true God.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, so, you know, at least I don't know how to really take that. So, all right. Now, as far as being faithful, there were some, you know, last fight, Eddie Alvarez kind of assumed that you got another girl pregnant. There have been pictures of you with doing, you know, maybe doing cocaine with women. Are you faithful, or are you a one woman guy, or are you partying? What's going on?
You don't need to concern yourself with whether or not I'm faithful. I've risen above the domain of all your various oaths and vows. I'm Conor McGregor, and what I do is okay.
Okay, so you're fucking around on your wife, is what you're saying.
When I do it, it's not fucking around. It's called being Conor McGregor. Guys who fuck around, those girls are doing them the favor. For me, I'm doing them the favor.
You're doing girls a favor by showing them your dick. And
making them polish my potatoes.
Right, right. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Got it. Got it. Got it. Well, listen, Conor, man. So the fight's in 2 weeks. You're calling a one-round knockout. Now, what do you think about... Now, Paulie Malignaggi was upset that you were driving around in a Lamborghini while you were putting your sparring partners up at a crack house and then not telling them
what... What they choose to do in that house, that's their business. Just show up and let me knock you out.
Right, okay, now, but he was upset that you were also not telling them when sparring was, that you were kind of not being very professional.
Oh, I'm sorry, are they giant international stars with an incredible schedule to keep up with, or are they paid to sit there and wait? All this complaining, I can't take it no more. It's all inspired by the interweb.
Right, okay, all right. So you're saying, look, they should be lucky that even that they're there.
That's right.
Right.
What else do they have to do? Did you ever interview him before I kicked him out of my camp?
No.
Of course not, because he don't need shite unless I'm the one that's shite on him.
All right. Well, I understand. I hear you. I mean, he really wants to fight you, and he said he wants to fight you, and the winner gets all the money, the loser gets nothing, and he wants to do it on St. Patrick's Day.
So I get to continue being Conor, and he gets to continue being nothing. Sounds like a real deal for me.
All right, Conor. I hear you. I totally hear you. Well, listen, man. McGregor, you said it all. Now Dana White.
That's right, because when Conor McGregor says it, it's the law.
Now, listen. Bob Arum, who's this big boxing promoter, said that you can't fight for shit.
Like Bob Arum. He's got a big soft butt.
Now, Bob Arum says that you can't fight for shit and you're a terrible fighter, and there are 100 guys out there in your weight class that are boxers that would whip you in a boxing match. What do you say to Bob Arum?
Well, I'll tell you what. Then tell him to write me a check for $60 million, and I'll fight all them, too.
Oh, you'll fight Bob Arum as well. Okay. All right.
Sure, why not?
All right. Okay. Now, Kevin Lee says you're going to get you're going to get your ass kicked by Mayweather.
Kevin Lee, I don't know who that is, so I can't kill us. Everyone can say whatever they fucking want. They'll watch me drive by with $60 million in gold doubloons flying out of my Lamborghini. Who fucking cares?
All right. Okay. Well, listen, Conor, it was an honor to have you on the show. You're one of a kind,
man.
And
Kevin Lee, he can go back to being the only son of Bruce no one's ever heard of.
I don't think he was the son of Bruce. But who knows? I don't think he actually knew his dad, so maybe he was. Listen, this is a...
Oh, who's the racist now?
Listen, Conor, I thank you for taking time out of your schedule to call into the podcast. You look, you're one of a kind, Mr. McGregor. You've changed the face.
Of course I am. I am the numero uno, the beginning of the end, the Alpha and Omega.
A lot of people think that you're going to win. They think that you're going to come in the weight at 170, 175. Mayweather's going to be about 155. You're just going to be too strong for Mayweather, and that you're crazy. A lot of people think that you're crazy enough to win. I don't know. It would defy all logic if you won. But look, I've bet against you before, and I've lost. I thought Eddie Alvarez was going to beat you. I thought Poirier was going to beat you.
All of this is simple. This is obviously indicative of the fact that you're retarded. So I'm not going to worry about your retard explanations.
I thought Nate Diaz was going to beat you the second time, and you beat Nate Diaz second time. Any final words of wisdom, Conor? All right, thanks. Thank you. All right, thanks, Conor. Take care, man. Good luck at the fight.
Goodbye, then.
Take care.